The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday. It's December 14th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, three people were injured after a gun battle erupted outside of a home in Philadelphia's Kensington neighborhood. It happened at about 6 o'clock Monday evening on the 3400 block of Emerald Street. According to Philadelphia Police Chief Inspector Scott Small, at least 25 shots were fired during the shootout. Inside a home on the block, officers found a 21-year-old man, a 21-year-old woman, and a 27-year-old man, all suffering from gunshot wounds. Police say the 27-year-old was placed in critical condition at an area hospital. The other two victims are expected to survive. Officers found shell casings from a handgun and an AR-15 at the scene. According to Small, it is believed that one of the shooters was firing the AR-15 from a Honda vehicle and that one of the victims was inside that vehicle. At least one person was taken into police custody. Small says some of the victims may have been involved in the shooting and may have been firing gunshots. It's still unclear what sparked the shooting, but police do believe that it was a targeted attack. Anyone with information is asked to contact police by calling 215-686-TIPS.
It seems a lot of these are targeted.
A lot. Philadelphia officials announced Monday that proof of a COVID-19 vaccine will soon be required to eat inside a restaurant or food establishment, saying the mandate is meant to help prevent another shutdown of indoor dining. Patrons will have to show their vaccination card and a form of government ID. The rollout begins on January 3rd. Philadelphia Health Commissioner Dr. Cheryl Bedigal says any place that sells food or drink to be consumed on site will have to require that everyone who enters to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. For the first 2 weeks, January 3rd to the 17th, establishments may choose to accept a proof of a negative COVID test within the last 24 hours in lieu of a proof of vaccination. On January 17th, negative COVID-19 tests will no longer be accepted. The city mandate allows some extra time for children ages 5 to 11 and employees to get vaccinated. The requirement does not apply to people who are exempt from vaccination, including children under 5 or people with proven medical or religious exemptions. But those with exemptions and children between 2 and 5 years old will be required to present a negative COVID-19 test taken within 24 hours to enter the establishment that seats more than 1,000 people covered by the requirement. That includes sporting venues, movie theaters, bowling alleys, and spaces like museum cafes inside larger venues. Bedigal added that establishments like schools and daycares will not be required to show proof of vaccination or negative tests. The same goes for soup kitchens or shelters that serve vulnerable populations. The rules will not change for now at outdoor sporting events, but the mandate will apply to indoor areas and businesses inside Lincoln Financial Field and the Wells Fargo Center. The holidays are quickly approaching, and that means major shipping companies are working around the clock to make sure packages will arrive on time for Christmas. The United States Postal Service is 2 days away from its first deadline, December 15th. Paul Smith, a spokesperson for the United States Postal Service, said that the shipping madness that mail carriers experienced last year actually helped crews prepare for this season. Actually, we're 1 day away. December 15th is tomorrow. They hired 40,000 employees for seasonal help, and they have new machines that can process 12 times faster than the manual sorting that was done last year. So they say the new manual machines are expediting the sorting process and can be found at post offices across the United States, including right here in Pennsylvania. Smith said that the USPS has also converted their help throughout the year to full-time employees since they are already familiar with the mail routes. The post office is expecting nearly 2.3 billion letters and packages to be processed and delivered just this week alone. So the post office retail ground deadline is December 15th. First class mail deadline is the 17th. Priority mail, December 18th. And then Priority Mail Express, December 23rd. But that's all based on what you want to pay.
It's amazing watching. I mean, because they appear to be, or at least seem to be, working almost around the clock. And to see there was a woman across the street, USPS, she had a box that was her size that she was moving. Yeah, I'm like, oh, my God. Unbelievable, especially, you know, this time of year just kicks up to begin with, and now there's an even bigger crunch.
UPS is still stating that they can deliver on their 3-day shipping, 2-day and next day air shipping, and then FedEx deadlines range from December 9th to the 24th, again, depending on what you're willing to pay.
We're getting about
four different deliveries a day to the house. Yeah. I mean, not just four packages. I mean, four separate delivery drivers have come by.
How's your son doing as
he's
far
doing
as...
All right.
He's doing okay. He's in the thick of it now, right? He's an Amazon delivery guy.
He's an Amazon delivery guy, and he hasn't complained about it yet.
Well, good for him, man. It's good.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Sometimes, it's, you know, to be in what they call in the weeds, I guess, whatever the equivalent of that is in the delivery, business. But, yeah, I mean, you're busy.
You're going. It's no idle time for sure.
I'll tell you what, though. I was surprised it happened last year, and obviously it's becoming more frequent now, but that UPS and other shipping companies are not delivering Amazon. That it, for me at least, and where I am, it's solely the Amazon drivers that are bringing my Amazon deliveries.
Well, if you watch TV, the way to get around this year is just to give cars as gifts. That's what apparently a lot of people do. They just give full automobiles as gifts.
I know. I miss my UPS guy.
Where's my car that you're delivering?
All right. In sports this morning. The Sixers lost to the Grizzlies 126-91 last night in Memphis. Yikes. Dylan Brooks scored 23 points. Jaren Jackson Jr. added 22, and the Grizzlies shot better than 50% on their way to the blowout win. The Sixers played without Seth Curry and Joel Embiid, who was a late scratch with right rib soreness. Both players were declared out just before game time. They're back home tomorrow night with a game against the Miami Heat. The Flyers, who won two games in a row after their 10-game losing streak, are at home tonight with a game against the New Jersey Devils. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock. And in Monday Night Football, the Los Angeles Rams beat the Cardinals in Arizona. Aaron Donald finished with 3 sacks, while Matthew Stafford threw for 287 yards and 3 touchdowns to lead the Rams past the Cardinals 30-23. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath, and good day, and welcome to Tuesday. We are very, very slowly chipping away at the work week. And by the end of it on Friday, we're going to give away this 3-lap ride-along. And that is that's at Pocono Raceway, and it is with our friends 877stockcar.com. So listen up for your chance to win that. We don't want you to miss out on it.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a blast, man. We also have Tattoos Day today, so up for grabs. $350 gift certificate. Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. They're on South Street, 1729 to be specific. And you can get a Preston and Steve themed tattoo. If you text word secret to 39333, you'll be in the running for it. We'll grab a random texter and we will give that away at some point during the program.
There's going to be a time, Preston, when we'll be able to fill the link with people who've had tattoos.
Telling you, man.
I mean, it's been going on for years.
Yeah, we could have a convention for sure.
Did you say text secret?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, tattoo. Tattoo to 39333. Yeah. Not secret. If you text secret, well... We'll get you in the running for next week's secret text word.
We'll guarantee it.
Or tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, we won't be. I'm very much out of it. I don't know why.
You know why? You're staying up all night to watch the meteor shower.
That's what it was.
You know, though Kathy's the only one that saw it.
You know.
She's the space cowboy now, Preston.
You're right.
Oh, God, please.
Space cowgirl.
Would you mind doing a space feature every week?
I just happened to be outside, and I was like, oh, wait, that's tonight. Looked up, saw one. It sort of looked like orangey. Like, it had like a color to it.
Well, you remember they said, you had the report yesterday that there were going to be a variety of colors in this particular
for the holidays
shower.
So that was at the first Target store I was at, and then the second Target that I visited about an hour later, I was also looking up, and I saw another one.
Should do a special segment of astronomical observing and shopping at
and
Target.
Shopping at Target at the same time.
All right. Well, hopefully you got to see some of that. I think I don't know if I've ever seen an orange one. I've seen a green one before and gone,
that's
like,
cool.
That was weird, you know? So they can definitely surprise you with the colors. All right. Well, anyhow, Kathy observed something, a celestial event.
Yeah, if you want me to go like full into celestial.
Yeah, please, if you would. You're our Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right.
So we do have a guest on the program today, and that's Jim Florentine. And he's got a new special. It's called Bite the Bullet, which is available now on YouTube. And he'll be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club on Friday and Saturday night. And that's in New Jersey. So we'll talk to Jim a little bit later on this morning. So and a bunch of other things are going to be taking place. So I know I'm missing something, but I'll think of it at some point. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. The Entertainment Report is coming up next with goodies for you to win. So stay nearby. We'll be right back.
If you like what you hear, you can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let us do the stupid question. We're going to give away a $150 Fogarty Show gift card. A question I have for you this morning is the game Scrabble, which I love, was originally called what? 215-263-WMMR.
I didn't know it had an original name.
I did not know this either till this morning, but Scrabble had another name initially. What was that? 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays today. It is the 14th of December, and we will start with the actress Vanessa Hudgens.
Nice beaver.
Oh, every time. Yeah, you know, she's... besides that, though, she's really super talented. She was in the...
Tick, boom.
We just want... Man, is she good in that.
She's excellent. Great. Yeah. She plays one of the lead female singing roles in that.
And you know what? As it turns out, the Eli Roth series on horror movies, she's a massive horror fan.
Oh, nice.
So she was speaking with authority. She's really cool.
I didn't realize it was her in Tick, Tick, Boom probably for maybe close to an hour.
I probably wouldn't have picked on it, up on it if you didn't tell me ahead of time, but she looks a little bit different.
She's older now. I mean, how old is she?
Yeah,
she's 51.
No, she's 33.
Oh, okay, that was.
But we got to know her as a young lady in the High School Musical. You know, started there. But she's a real deal.
Yeah,
act and sing the whole thing. So 33 years old today, Vanessa Hudgens. You also have actress Dee Wallace Stone, who played her mother in E.T. I don't know her from anything else.
Mom's got a nice rash.
What was that, E.T.? What about your childlike innocence?
Screw that.
Let me ask.
She's got quite the ninja boot on her, doesn't she?
Does she look like Diane Wiest? Because I always feel like mixed those two up.
I don't know who that is. Who is that?
Diane Wiest?
Yeah.
In The Lost Boys, she's the mom.
Okay. All right. I don't know. It's been so long since I've seen either one of those movies. I couldn't tell you.
She's the mom in E.T. She's the mom in Cujo.
Okay.
Remember, she plays a good mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
She turns 73 today. Then we have, Cliff Williams, bassist for the band AC/DC.
Wow.
Celebrates his birthday today.
Found out yesterday in your music report that was Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen's band.
That was
AC/DC.
Wolfgang Van Halen.
Oh, as well, yeah.
So the two of them, that's
bonded.
The band they shared as far as, their kind of their mutual love and had in common. So Cliff Williams is 72 years old today. And AC/DC, what can you say, man? A force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Also from the musical world, we have Joyce Vincent Wilson, who was a member of Tony Orlando and Dawn. Yeah.
Three times on the ceiling if you want me.
She was one of the two backup singers that made Dawn. I guess Dawn was
the two girls.
The girls.
Thelma Hopkins and her.
And Thelma was an actress.
Yes.
She was in a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Bosom Buddies. Was she on that show?
Yes, she was. Yeah.
But Joyce Vincent Wilson turns 75 years old today. Steve, I added a porn star in here today. In my list of birthdays, they normally don't list porn stars, but Ginger Lynn has
Ginger
a birthday
Lynn.
Today.
Wow.
Ginger Lynn was a stunner back in her
days. The Meryl Streep of porn? Would that be inappropriate?
The early 80s? That would probably be...
Overstating it?
No. I would think of the Meryl Streep of porn is probably... Oh, man, and I'm having a brain fart. Insatiable. Marilyn Chambers. I would put her as the Meryl Streep, probably.
All right, and then the Diane Wiest would go to Ginger Lynn?
Maybe that.
Okay.
But she was definitely way up there as far as the biggies go.
She was also in that time in the porn movie industry when they actually provided a plot. And she was sort of girl next door-ish.
Yeah. She turns 59 today. Nick, by the way, check the validity of my stupid question, as I'm seeing several answers that don't concur with the one that I have.
Say it again.
Here you go. I'll take a look at this.
Yeah.
See if that makes sense for you.
Are we still subscribing to the notion that your answer is always right no matter what?
I like that notion.
All right. Then we have Natasha McElhone. I had to look her up, and you guys know who she is. In the Truman Show,
yep.
She was the one he was obsessed with, that he was in love with.
Yes. I think it's McElhone.
Is it McElhone?
Yeah, okay. It's like McElwain, like MC followed by an E or followed by an I. It's usually Mac.
So is your name actually Nick McElhone?
Yes.
Okay.
I am her son. Yes. I was in Ronin.
She was in Ronin. Yeah. She was on that show, Designated Survivor, and Californication as well, and she is celebrating her 52nd birthday today. You have Jackson Rathbone. He played Jasper in the Twilight movies.
Okay, yes. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
Sure.
He's 37 today.
I like that name Jasper, though.
I've always kind of liked it, too.
I like Rathbone.
Yeah. You like Rathbone?
I do like Rathbone. It's my my daughter, Rathbone.
Yep. So he is 37 today. And then what are you doing?
Well, I saw your last birthday. We don't have... Okay. In the system, and so
yeah,
I
last birthday
here.
Is a young lady named Tori Kelly. She's a singer. I know her from the Allstate commercial she did, and I thought, I'm like, wow, she's really pretty and has a great voice. She plays guitar too, but she was also in the movie Sing. She was the elephant, right?
She was.
Who was very, very shy, and then when she got up to sing on stage, we were like, oh my god, this girl's incredible.
I gotta see that movie again.
It's cute.
I think I kind of glossed over it.
It's a cute movie, and there's a lot of great music in it. Is this her?
Yeah.
Crank it up. Secret chord
that David played and it pleased me. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But you don't really care for music, do you?
Yeah, she's got a great voice. She's celebrating her 29th birthday today. She had any really big hits?
That Allstate commercial or Nationwide commercial.
We're looking at a picture of her. She's very busty, and I just said big hits.
And does she have tickle bitties?
I'm sorry, Casey. Besides
all right, so, commercial. Well, listen, there is a song on the Sing album. Is it her song? Don't You Worry About a Thing.
I don't know.
I don't know whose song that is.
Is this it?
Yeah.
You have to have the building blocks of a voice like that. Right? I mean, you can only learn so much if you're not starting with a...
Yeah, listen, you can... There's an innate, ingrained talent that some people have and is natural. And you can perfect it and work on it
like Kathy
and tweak
did.
It. Yeah, exactly. But if you... you have to have some kind of natural ability there.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, so... And she's one of those people you can hear in the voice. She's got it. So she's... Are you going to crank it up or what?
Oh, no. You were wrapping it up, so I was pulling it out.
She's...
Oh, my God, amazing.
There she is.
There it is.
I want more.
She's here.
Listen to that.
Up where they walk, up where they run.
We're both
up
the
where
same.
They yeah. stay up there.
Listen.
The sun.
Wow.
Wandering free. Wish I could be
goosebumps.
Part of that goosebumps. World.
Who did I leave that for?
I had goosebumps.
I don't
Casey,
know.
I think. Casey?
I was like, oh, okay.
But it's like a clinic when you listen to it. It's like the free clinic.
All right. We need
Nick,
to...
do you want to correct me real quick? Because I made a gigantic blunder on that.
Yeah, that's a Stevie Wonder song.
The last one?
Yeah, don't you worry about a thing.
Or did you worry about that?
But who sang it in Sing?
She did.
It was her.
It was her. All right.
All right. We're going to see if you can get an answer. Nick, did you find out?
Yes.
Is that incorrect?
This is not really right. But this is
son of a bitch.
This is what the precursor to the game was called. But the people that are calling,
they got it right?
Yeah, yeah. Go to Jim, maybe, because I think he called first.
Yeah, I will go to him. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
Jim, do me a favor and tell me what Scrabble was named before it was Scrabble.
It was called Crisscross, and at one point it was called It.
It was called It?
Yeah, I think so.
I was looking for Lexicon, but doing the research, yes, you're correct. So we'll go with Crisscross. I got the information from a website, a random trivia generator.
Well, there was a game called Lexico, and that game, it was the precursor to Scrabble. Then it went through some amendments and changes, and then it became Crisscross, and then it became Scrabble.
So there's multiple answers.
Too, yeah. Preston, because at the Wikipedia page here, it says It was first sold in Great Britain in 1954. That's the name. The name of the game is It.
Okay, originally called Crisscross. All right, it was based on crossword puzzles and anagrams. By the way, Scrabble is like, if you look at the board on Scrabble, if you ever play it with any frequency, it's a perfect game.
It is.
I mean, like, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about how perfect that game is.
I love it. You know, my general loathing of board games, I'm not that I'm not that reticent. Like, I'll play Scrabble.
Yeah.
I can jump in on that. Right. I mean, I'll tap out early before anyone else does.
There's some creativity involved
yes.
in it.
Yeah. So yeah. I kind of like that.
I was playing not that long ago, and I sent this to Nick when I was playing because I had a really good word, but I couldn't use it.
The C word sometimes pops up in your show.
Yes. You know? Should get maximum points for that.
Because there's a C in it, and that's worth, 3 points, I think? Yeah. So.
Do they allow any expletives?
Not really, no.
All right. Mm-hmm. Is there an expletive version? I'd like to play that.
You could, on your own, allow it. You could set a house rule that expletives are
allowed.
It's
a lot harder than you would think, though.
Yeah, to actually
only
come
across do
those.
Expletives, yeah.
No, not only that, but allow them.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, you know, the abridged version. All right, well, anyhow, we are going to set them up with a $150 Fogo to Show gift card, and Fogo to Show is the best place to indulge in the holiday season. Like their premium grated Wagyu New York strip and a great enhancement to the full Churrasco experience. You can make a reservation for Center City or King of Prussia at Fogo.com. All right, let's start with Kim. All right, we're going to begin with Kim.
Get it out of the way.
On her fourth try, Ms. Kardashian successfully passed California's baby bar exam. The mom of four posted an image of herself looking in the mirror on Instagram Monday and wrote, OMFGGGGGG, I passed the baby bar exam.
This is like, how many times did you say it was?
Fourth time. Despite failing the exam 3 times in the past 2 years, Kardashian dusted herself off and tried again. This time, she is celebrating a victory as she moves 1 step closer to becoming a lawyer. In her post, she thanked Van Jones, who she says liked her, talked her into going to law school, her team for helping her study, and her late father, Robert Kardashian Sr., who was, of course, also a lawyer. She ended her post with an inspirational message, writing, "Bottom line is, don't ever give up, even when you are holding on by a thread. You can do it."
How did she cover her bills and everything to pay for school, scrimping and saving, working at Denny's?
And what would she do if she didn't get this degree?
Oh, my God, what would she fall back on?
She said, set your mind to it and get it done because it feels so good once you get to the other side.
So how many steps from the baby bar passing to an actual lawyer does she have to go through?
I have no idea.
Just to take the actual bar.
Yeah, I have no idea what the baby bar even is. I'm not sure, but it's a step.
Baby bar, Roseanne bar, then the bar.
It's a step on the way to passing the bar, so I don't really know, Steve. Meanwhile, Kim has filed papers stating that she is not making an effort toward reconciling with Kanye West, noting irreconcilable differences that caused their marriage to irretrievably break down. And according to TMZ, Kim also stated that she's been trying to end their marriage since February, but Kanye is not responding.
Huh.
She said, "I've been attempting to settle our dissolution with Kanye since I filed for divorce in February 2021. I've requested several times that Kanye agreed to bifurcation and terminate our marital status."
Okay.
"He has not responded to my request."
Anything particularly exculpatory in this arrangement?
Not that I know of. They were very taciturn
Steve.
She also added the following: "Kanye and I both deserve the opportunity to build new lives. Therefore, I'm asking that my request to bifurcate." Is that how you say that?
Bifurcate.
"Bifurcate and terminate our marital status."
It's come to bifurcate and terminate.
Yes. It's bifurcate.
Oh, jeez. Hang on.
Sorry, you weren't ready.
Terminate. Reprobate.
Master. Wait a minute.
No, we can't say that. All right. Why can't we say that?
I don't know. She said our marital status and terminate our marital status be granted.
So the bifurcating thing that she's talking about is saying, okay, if we can't figure out the legal stuff, the legal wranglings and property, all that stuff, can she at least be deemed single, not married legally? Right. And so she got that.
Yep.
She got all bifurcated up.
Well, and just like that, comments about the cast's appearance on the new Sex and the City reboot have started rolling in. Kristen Davis, who plays Charlotte York Goldenblatt on the show, is not having any of it. She said, "Everyone wants to comment, pro or nay or whatever, on our hair, on our faces, on our this and our that. The level of intensity of it was a shock," she said in an interview with the Sunday Times Style magazine. She said, "They're hurling bombs at you, and it makes me angry." She emphasized her frustrations in the interview, saying, "But I also feel, and I'm going to be blunt, I feel like, F you.
Wow.
F you, people. Like, come over here and do it better.
You
know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?" she says. "I get it. Sure. Why not? I mean, it's part and parcel with what you do."
Yeah, it's what your job is, basically.
When you put a product out there. But I also understand where you're like, shut up.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Shut up. Shutting up.
Yeah. Don't watch it. If you don't like it, don't watch
it. Shut up, dummy.
So, anyhow, that's
Could
what
you shut up?
Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk has added another notch to his belt. Yesterday, Time magazine revealed they chose him as the person of the year.
Now, does he get a free subscription with that?
Oh, no. They make you pay for that.
Oh, wow.
Time's editor-in-chief, Edward Felsenthal, explained the decision, writing, "Person of the year is a marker of influence. A few individuals have had more influence than Musk on life and Earth." Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, and few individuals have had more influence than Musk on life on Earth and potentially life off Earth, too. In 2021, Musk emerged not just as the world's richest person, but also as perhaps the richest example of a massive shift in our society. And, of course, there were people that were critical of that decision. But someone who rationalized the choice a little bit had responded saying, "People forget that person of the year just measures influence. It doesn't necessarily have to be positive influence or negative influence. It's just influence in general."
I think years ago, Hitler was one of their...
He was.
Yeah, so yeah. Yep, there you go.
Let's see here. A trailer, according to E! News, a new Peacock documentary will be released on December 17th, and a trailer has come out for this. It's shedding the light on the mystery of Gabby Petito's murder.
Uh-huh.
The couple that were out.
Yeah, just recently.
Yeah, the new film will tell the tragic story of the YouTuber's life and death, featuring Gabby's parents and step-parents' first documentary interview. So they're going to go into the depths of that story a little bit.
So I have to say, I've been going over to Peacock a lot more. There's been a lot more that I've been interested in watching, and MacGruber is going to be premiering this week.
Yeah, there's a few shows that that I watch on that
on
network.
Peacock. Yeah,
and I was surprised to find, and there's some good movie options on there too that are just like, you know, old movies that are ones that you go, oh my god, I haven't seen that in a while.
But one thing is the menu, the navigation, they need to brush that up a little bit.
I hate it.
Yep.
You know what? Here's one of my biggest beefs with some streaming platforms. I have so many that I forgot which ones I don't like, how they operate or not.
Yeah.
But on the, continue watching, sometimes that should be the first bar up there on every single service that
what
is available.
What did you last watch?
Yeah.
So, example.
Because I didn't finish watching it, I'm going to come right back to it. And sometimes, and I can't remember which ones, like maybe Disney, you go down and you're like, you can't find it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, man.
This was the last thing I showed interest in. You can, I believe, in the remote, if you ask to go to last viewed on Peacock, will it take you there?
I don't know.
Like on the Fire Cube. Nick, did I give you a Fire Cube?
Yeah.
All right. It'll do that when you have, across any app, and I think they're all working towards this, where when you say go to the app, even within the Xfinity setup.
Yeah, because
really
that only does a handful of
right.
them. It only do like Hulu and Prime, I think.
Right. So
and maybe Disney.
To continue that, where you would go right back to what you were watching. Because most people do that.
My problem, Steve, is I default back to the app settings instead of staying on the hardware settings.
I got you.
You know, and so especially because the cube is in one room and the app is in another, and it's just like, make this easier. I don't want to go off the
make
couch.
It stop.
Yeah. Couch is comfortable.
It used to be Uncle Milty, and that would be it. Well, maybe I'll go back too far.
TV personality Sherry Shepherd was scheduled to guest host the Wendy Williams Show on Monday, but had to cancel due to a case of appendicitis.
Ooh. Yeah.
So I guess it was when you got to go quickly,
you gotta
appendicitis
go.
can
kill you.
Can turn bad pretty quickly.
And that can come on quickly, too,
it
right?
It can, yeah.
My mother had an appendicitis years and years and years ago, and I remember it went from 0 to 60, and they were like, they rushed her in. Now, obviously, medicine's gotten a lot better since then, but it was touch and go.
I was in France.
That's right.
Yeah. I was passed out on the Eiffel Tower, and I had no idea why I was ill, and that was appendicitis.
So yours ruptured.
It did not. I made it to the hospital in time, but it was the most pain I probably ever experienced in my life. It's awful.
When I was a kid, and I was probably like, I don't know, 9, 10 years old, a friend of mine had his burst.
Oh my God.
Like, it got... I didn't know. You know, as a kid, I had no idea. They were like, it could have killed him.
Yeah, because your system is flooded with toxins. Yeah. Right? That's what we don't quite know what it is.
Well, it's infected.
But basically, you're poisoning, your own body is poisoning itself.
Right. So anyhow, Michael Rapaport had filled in for Shepherd as she underwent surgery. Entertainment Tonight reports that she's following doctor's orders and expected to make a full recovery. Steve, you had heard something about Wendy Williams.
I keep seeing it.
What do you see?
It's quite possible. Well... This has been reported by a couple of places, and I'm not saying this is true, but the consensus or the belief is she's in the early stages of dementia.
Oh, really? I haven't seen anything about that.
I've seen it in two different sources. I'll find.
Yeah, I want to see that. Which is horrible.
Doesn't mean it's true. Accurate. You know, yeah. That stuff can get promulgated pretty easily, but. It does seem to be going longer than originally anticipated. We'll see. Okay. I hope that's not the case, obviously.
Yeah definitely. It might just be a rumor. Could just be garbage. Right. So we'll see. Following sexual assault and abuse allegations, actor Armie Hammer has left a treatment facility for drug, alcohol, and sex issues in Florida.
And he's stopped eating people.
Haven't heard his name in a while, and hopefully he's quit eating people. Yes. Or at least biting them.
Yeah.
You know. People reports that he will be celebrating the holidays with his kids and family. He's facing rape allegations from his former partner who came forward in March. So we'll see if there's more on that in the near future. E! News reports that actress Park So-dam, who played Ki Jung in the movie Parasite, has been diagnosed with papillary thyroid cancer.
Oh, boy.
So-dam was preparing to promote her next film, called Special Delivery, when she got the news.
What's your prognosis?
She's already undergone surgery. She's focusing on her recovery.
So. All right.
I've not seen Parasite, and I hear it's amazing.
It is. It's a very good movie. The director is one of my favorites. He did that movie Snowpiercer and The Host and a couple others. Yeah. Very talented.
I'll have to add that to the list. People reports that Jurassic World star Chris Pratt posted an Instagram tribute to his wife, Katherine Schwarzenegger, on Monday to celebrate her birthday, featuring photos. Smile, honey.
One more time. Now let me do rapid fire. That's the Schwarzenegger camera.
Featuring photos of her...
Wait a minute. Yeah. Seduce me.
Featuring photos of her smiling, Pratt also wrote a sweet note. Happy birthday, honey. You are such a wonderful wife, mother, stepmother, and life partner. I simply can't imagine how lost I'd be without you.
You are such a good.
Hey, kid. You. Oh, the photos have continued. He continued saying, "You're beautiful, tough as nails, reasonable, deeply thoughtful."
You are so reasonable.
You're so reasonable. Aww, you know what I love about you? Yeah.
You it's are reasonable so reasonable.
You are.
And you're moderately attractive.
And deeply thoughtful, extraordinarily smart. You're a complete boss, eternally driven, and you communicate like no other. Thank you for everything.
Now, did she have to go online to see this, or did he tell it to her?
She did. No, he didn't. Are you kidding me? Yeah, you don't tell these things to people. You write them down, and you post them publicly, and then they eventually see it, and they can come to you. And then they write a response, say, "Thank you so much. I love you, honey. You're the greatest ever. You're so reasonable."
I think you and I, everyone in this room probably tells their significant other in person, and then maybe might do a quick sentence, "I love, you know, happy birthday to my wife or my girlfriend or whatever."
That's how I do it.
That's how you do it, and then you don't do the 9-page, you know, tribute.
Nick, let me ask you a question, because when I look at pictures like this on Instagram, I have been watching Succession, and I look at this stuff completely different now when I look at the ultra wealthy and the things that they do. Because, and listen, Succession is fiction.
Yes.
But I'm looking at these pictures, and I just look at it like way differently now. I don't know if you have the same way.
Explain. Why does Succession taint your perception?
Because I think it's opulence, right?
Yeah.
It's just everything, every single episode is just a different level or, you know, ability to do these things that regular people can't do, and at a level that we will never, ever, ever be able to attain.
I would say slightly different with Chris Pratt, only because he doesn't come from money.
I'm not talking, but so Chris Pratt would be a different character on Succession.
Okay. He'd be Pratt, right? Chris.
Well, he would be Tom, right? Essentially, right. He would be Tom, but he is on. Listen, people have boats and people spend time on the water and lakes and you know, but. There oceans? Are different levels of boats. And this guy's not on a freaking pontoon right now.
Well,
you know?
Listen, I kind of know what
and
you're saying.
Great, like, and I'm not like, no, I know what you're judging. Saying.
With everything comes a whole host of issues, though.
Sure.
And it has
And you
said,
see it.
Yes, and you do. And that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
There is, going back to the Kim Kardashian pictures where she passed the baby bar, you know, look at those pictures that are supposedly taken just to celebrate. Hey, like Preston, you had your nighty, Kenny Nighty thing the other day. The pictures were wonderful. Yeah. You know, she's got like a staff there taking pictures of her in her bathroom, and she's in a blue jumpsuit. That's a different level, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. and no, but you're saying yes. There are some people who can get out and do what they want to do when they want to do it and however big they want to. And, you know, I would imagine if your last name is Schwarzenegger and you're married to a very famous actor as well, you get to do these fun
things.
Some
people get boats and some people don't.
Yeah. And there are levels of boats.
Yeah.
Let us remember.
They're absolutely not on a canoe, right? They're not on an inflatable canoe right now.
Right. But we're looking at the photos of her, and it looks like they're out on a very beautiful lake, a cool scenery. They don't show any real, I don't see any pictures of the boat itself.
Maria Shriver's there.
Yeah. She's giving her kiss, a kiss to her daughter.
There's something about Pratt, though. I mean, the dude lived in a van for a stretch, yep. You know, like he really had nothing. And I know he gets beat up online occasionally, but I give him a bit of a pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. How about this story? Tom Holland, during a press interview, the host had pointed out the problematic assumption that women should be shorter than their male partners in heterosexual relationships, referring specifically to the romantic on-screen pairing of Holland and Zendaya. Mr. Holland responded by joking that Zendaya is, quote, not that much taller than him, and then went on to explain that their height difference is not an issue.
So what is she? She's 5'10 and he's 5'8"? Is that the deal?
I don't know their heights.
Okay.
He said, it's a stupid assumption. It's ridiculous. I remember when we were doing the Spider-Man screen test. I mean, you'd have to ask John Watts, who's the director, this question, but every girl we tested for both roles was taller than me. And I wonder whether that was a decision that John had made. There was no one who tested that was shorter than I was. To be fair, I'm quite short, he says. So maybe that's a decision that John Watts made and something he was aware of, and he wanted to break the stereotype.
She's very cool, and I think she's great in the movies, and they have a... Like I like their relationship.
Yeah.
It works for me.
When they're on the red carpet, she's got heels on.
So
she's going to look a little bit taller than him. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, you know, occasionally it's going to look different.
There are shots of them at the various premieres, and she looks like $1 million. And he's Spider-Man, and he's incredibly likable.
The conversation happened after Shaw brought up their kiss in Far From Home. Zendaya described it as a sweet moment and said that she was happy that they didn't try to cheat by framing the scene so that Holland appeared taller than her.
There's also when they're swinging together, she recounted a story, Preston, where, you know, as they're doing some of the effects and some of the green screen stuff, you know, he's got to hold her up higher, you know, when he's hanging on the rope to make the shot look right.
I was, my daughter and I watched Far From Home last night.
It was on,
getting ready for the new movie.
Very
and I'm
excited.
Like, you know what? I'd kind of forgotten that film and what all happened. So I wanted to familiarize myself before getting into this next one.
I enjoyed it.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Their co-star, Jacob Batalon, summed up the discussion even more succinctly, saying it's not a weird thing for women to be tall. So they don't have an issue with it, but some other people think it's kind of funky. Let's see here. We'll do a couple more quick stories and then move along. A British version of SNL is in the works at Sky, the network. The project is in the early stages of development. And this would mark the most high-profile international adaptation of the Lorne Michaels-created series, which has been remade in a number of territories around the world, which I didn't know. China, Germany, Italy, and South Korea have their versions of Saturday Night Live.
So things like The Daily Show and stuff like that, those were ported over from England, a number of those shows. And I didn't realize that...
Yeah, we get a lot of shows.
No SNL
that are based off of English original series, and so they like the formula of Saturday Night Live, which is cool. Reps are understood to be in London discussing the deal with Sky, which is owned by Comcast. SNL is produced by Broadway Video and SNL Studios, with Michaels as creator and executive producer. The move is the talk of the British entertainment and talent circles, with comedians lining up to be involved. Casting both in front of and behind the camera will likely be key to the project's success, as SNL derives its success and laughs from the talent that put together the weekly variety show rather than a particularly strict format.
I'm perpetually, and I think we all are to some level, I know you don't watch it much, Preston, but I'm fascinated with SNL, the history of SNL, and like this season, when they're on the mark, they're great, and then when they're bad, they're really bad. But this past week with Billie Eilish, there were a number There were at least two or three skits where I was laughing out loud.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I missed it. I DVR it every week, so I have it, and I will watch it. And I do watch it every week.
And Billie Eilish was really good. They did a parody of the commercial. You've seen the commercial where the girl is in her room in her house, and she's looking across at the old woman, you know, during the height of COVID and the lockdown. And
yeah.
Holds up a sign, and, hey, how are you? And
no, I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Sorry.
But sort of this touching sort of Hallmark-y type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so Billie Eilish plays the girl who's holding up the sign to the old woman across the way, and it starts to go south quickly. It's okay. Hilarious. It's really well done.
I liked her musical performance, too.
She's great.
And it's, but that's hard, man.
Yeah.
Hosting and being the musical guest at the same time, that's not an easy thing.
That's like a Hasselhoff level.
Yeah, you're right.
Talent.
You know, like supreme entertainer.
Run off the beach and get on the concert stage.
If they take this to series, it's unlikely to air as late in the UK as it does in the States. The NBC series starts, of course, at 11:30 on Saturday. That's why I don't watch it.
Yeah.
It's on too damn late for me. I get up early in the morning. I don't stay up late. But maybe I'll start recording it like Casey does.
It's on Hulu every week, too. They just re-air it the next day.
I could do that as well.
Yeah.
It also comes after Sky began airing full versions of NBC's Saturday Night Live last year on its nascent Sky Comedy channel. What is that?
I think it's their beginning, the early stages of.
Nascent.
Yeah.
All right. Two times Steve has had to explain a word to me this morning so far. SNL, really?
And I think I'm hitting probably 50-50 with accuracy.
SNL really only had... been available to watch in clips on YouTube, having aired briefly on ITV4 in 2006. So they might be a British version of SNL. All right, I think, we better do clips now.
Let's do them.
A college professor confronts her unsettling past after meeting a woman and her young daughter while on vacation in Italy in The Lost Daughter. In this clip, Maggie Gyllenhaal talks about why she brought the book to the big screen.
And so I thought, well, what if instead of being alone in my room reading these truthful things quietly, what if you could put them on the screen in a communal place and actually hear them, actually see them articulated? I thought that would be, you know, like particularly radical, dangerous thing to try to do.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Amen. The Lost Daughter is in theaters this Friday.
I like her.
Here's your next clip. In Nightmare Alley, down on his luck endears himself to a clairvoyant.
They left out something clearly.
Yeah. I think a down on his luck man. We'll go with that. Endears himself to a clairvoyant and her mentalist husband and hatches a scheme to con a dangerous tycoon. In this clip, William Dafoe.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe talks about how he approaches playing a supernatural monster and a human monster.
Generally, probably not. I mean, you do whatever you need to do to get in the groove, to, you know, have you fall away and enter the story. And I think the logical thing is, if you're playing a supernatural monster, you want to find the human aspect. And if you're playing a human that's a monster, you want to find the monster's part of being human.
Nightmare Alley is in theaters this Friday.
He'll play a lunatic and a psycho and a monster, but like in Platoon, excuse me, sorry about that. He's like the good guy, you know. And when he plays a night, like in John Wick, he's his buddy, the original one, who's he can do both.
Yeah, he can have that real sinister look.
Oh yeah,
without question.
Naturally,
he can change that face just a little bit.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he turns evil, but he can play great. Heartwarming character.
If you want
to
see a good movie, it's The Lighthouse with Rob Pattinson and Willem Dafoe. And they're lighthouse keepers, and it's bizarre and it's weird and it's but it's cool, and he's really good in it.
Nice.
They're both really good.
All right, that's it. That's what I got in the entertainment report this morning. One reminder, we have put a challenge out there for you to construct out of gingerbread material a Preston and Steve or WMR studio. And we have $500 for the best representation of that. We're going to vote on the contest. So far, we've gotten one submission. Oh my
God. And that's fine. We've got like a full week, you know.
And that's what everyone usually does.
I'm just putting the pressure on them. Yeah. No, look, man.
The good ones are being constructed.
That's right.
He's doing something smarter. He's dangling the odds are really much in your favor, not unless the crack house wins.
All right, so we literally got a crack house. That's the one
Did they name it, or did we name it that?
I think Marissa said they named it. Yeah, the crack house. Okay, so, which is not a studio, but whatever, man.
And it's a fine crack house.
Okay, so
maybe they think we're crackheads.
If you are interested in winning $500 and putting together a little culinary creativity, then you can do that. You can go to the Gingerbread Studio contest page at PrestonandSteve.com to get entered to win that. All right, and speaking of winning, let's do the Christmas Miracle Giveaways.
It's a Christmas Miracle!
Yeah!
Yeah!
All right. We'll take callers 18, 19, and 20. Right now, 215-263-WMMR. Ladies and gentlemen, 1 week from this morning, we'll be broadcasting live from Parks Casino.
I can't wait to see everybody.
We'll be giving away some of our favorite things of the year. There's even a trip to see Metallica.
Oh, yeah!
That we've been promoting, yep. And everybody has a chance to win that. So call us 18, 19, and 20, 215-263-WMMR. Wear your ugly sweater, because Miller Lite has given us some stuff to give away, including Miller Lite for a year for the winner of our ugly sweater contest. So make sure that you are donning your ugliest wool duds, and we'll see if you end up winning. And you have to be at least 21 years of age and able to join us next Tuesday. So let's do it. We'll take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Hang in there with us this morning.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shots.
That's right, and this month's artist is John Faye. I'll just orbit, keep on spinning till I'm dead, singing whoa. John Faye, your Local Shots artist of the month. Check him out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Philly.
Beastie Boys getting us to Brooklyn this morning on 93.3 WMMR. It's Everything That Rocks. The town Brooklyn was named a few times the other night. I went bowling with Casey.
Ah.
And there is a certain maneuver when you get a strike. If you are right-handed and the ball strikes the left side of the lead pin and you get a strike, that's called a Brooklyn.
Huh, never heard of that.
Mm-hmm. It's also called a jersey.
Huh.
Casey could tell you
all about it.
What's
a Cleveland steamer?
It's something different.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Is that why they named that new place Brooklyn Bowl?
I don't know. That's a good question. It might be they might be out of Brooklyn, or they might be referring to that particular bowling, I don't know, move, if you want to call it that. But you might want to look into that. Case, I was talking. You were out of the studio getting some stuff. I was talking about you. We had played No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Oh yeah.
And I had referred to the bowling, for lack of a better term, move
maneuver
of the Brooklyn when you hit the opposite side
of the head pin
of the head pin from which side you're rolling. And Nick was wondering if the new Brooklyn Bowl in Philly was named after that.
We
pulled this up. It's from the Williamsburg neighborhood of Brooklyn.
Right.
So that's probably why.
Well,
that's what they're saying, but we know the real reason.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably like a double. It's got the double meaning, right?
Possibly.
A, it's Williamsburg.
Yeah.
B, Brooklyn. You know, Brooklyn is a. It's a thing that. I'm punching my microphone. A thing that happens in bowling. Anyway.
That's Casey is scratching the microphone, for those of you who are wondering what that
sound
was.
And then who was beatboxing?
Me, of course. They call me the beatboxer.
They do?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, any farts. Back to you, Preston. What's going on here?
I was just distracting you. I threw a pen across the room.
Look over there. It's like in Jurassic Park when he throws the lit flare off and the Tyrannosaurus goes running.
Anyway, but that's also called a jersey, too.
It is called a jersey.
Yeah, so you could open up a place called Jersey Bowl. You could do that, too.
But it is
not alliteration like Brooklyn
Bowl. Let's get a fire truck first, and we'll talk about that.
Work on that thing. Saw an interesting list of things. So here we are, holiday shopping time in its full glory. And, in fact, kind of starting to get to the danger zone.
Yes.
If you're going to order things like, okay.
We're on the highway to the danger zone.
Is this going to get here in time? There was a Reddit thread that was asked men, what sort of non-masculine gift do you secretly wish for?
What sort of non-masculine gift do you secretly wish for?
And feel free to chime in and let us know if there's something in particular that wouldn't be. So there are standard guy gifts that you hear about all the time.
Table saw.
Power tools. Right.
A hammer.
Tie. You know, stuff like that.
An American Girl doll.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Or am I just real speaking doll. For me?
Maybe yeah. a real doll, yeah. but yeah. not an American
well,
Girl doll.
You can drill holes in it.
God. They come with holes.
Yeah.
The American Girl dolls don't, yeah, but the, yeah, the right. real dolls have holes.
For one is more expensive these
what
days.
What I hear. Very expensive.
Yeah.
Both of them are. But anyhow, so there are some examples on this list that I found kind of interesting. I personally, I can't come up with a damn thing to let people know that I want.
Do you know what,
for the holidays?
One of the most difficult things, my wife asked for a list, and she's, you know, I love that she does it, you know, that I give her stuff to get for me. And I'm a much better gift giver than a gift getter.
We should swap places.
Yeah,
I'm better at asking for stuff, and I just haven't come up with anything.
Right, sure. right. Although, is there anything that would fall into this category that you've ever
actually,
wanted?
Now think about it. It's all golf stuff. I mean, you know, give me golf balls, tees, gloves, anything that has to do with the game. I will use those.
You're all in.
And I'll be happy. Yeah. But as far as non-masculine things go, nothing I can think of, but I'll give you a couple things on this on this list. So skincare stuff.
I was going to say like lotions.
Yeah, yeah.
All my stuff is like I want occasionally if I get like a dry skin in the winter, I'll use like a what do they call it? What is that? The Gold Bond, which is the 90-year-old Madge from Arkansas recommends.
So when I was trimming my toenails while Kathy was doing the news the other day, I was using that, what would you call that kit that I have?
All the
clippers and
files
and everything. I asked for that specifically.
Did you?
Yeah, it's a grooming kit.
But that's not odd for a man. Would have a nail grooming kit.
Like if you go into a cigar store or a place like that, they'll have these peripheral, you know, like manly sort of kits and stuff like that. What they would consider man grooming kits.
Nick kind of likes those girly lotions like smell nice.
Yeah. Well, I have dry skin as well. But as soon as you said this list, Preston, I was thinking like a spa day, you know. And
yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's not considered masculine, but man, a day at Joseph Anthony is a day in heaven. I love that place.
My wife would live there if that was her.
I would move in with your wife.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this.
I go to Hand and Stone.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you go, and you, you know, you try that, guys. Well, you know, you've got to fight hard to resist it because it is something that's enjoyable. But when you finally convert and say, okay, I'm all in, you can enjoy it.
Oh, man, they bring out that little tub that you can put your feet in and warm water.
You still wash your feet every day?
Well, not every day.
All right.
No, not in the winter. That'd be ridiculous.
Let me go to Zach, who wants to jump in with a non-masculine item that he would like to get for the holidays. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, sir.
All right, so what do you freely admit that would not be a very manly thing that you would like to get for the holidays?
Oh, 100% like bath supplies. So we have a tub in my fiance's condo. I'm an ultrasound tech, so I get very sore and very stiff. Sore and stiff.
Yeah.
Add some salt. The bath bombs, being able to lay and relax in that.
Let me ask you, Zach, because the bath bomb thing, I've seen those all over the place, and people, I guess maybe they've been used all along, but now there just seems to be a big push on these bath bombs. Do you like them? Do you swear by them?
Oh, they're fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Do you have a favorite?
No, There's different scents. They have peppermint, lavender, eucalyptus. So they have, there's a store called Lush that's in several of the malls.
Yeah.
And they do bath bombs.
Okay.
And they're expensive, but they're great.
Okay.
I do like a lavender smell, like a spa smell.
Me too.
I dig that.
Yeah. You know, I used to.
Thank you, Zach.
And now I don't. That used to be my jam.
Yeah.
Lavender?
Yeah. And so for some reason, it's not that I, my wife, I think, she got those like Airwick thingies, and she bought the lavender. And
too
I'm
much.
Like, I don't like that smell.
It retrained your olfactory senses.
Yeah. Also, lavender soaps gives you bitch boobs.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
Yes.
What?
Okay. Bitch tees, as they call them.
In weight, in bodybuilding.
What are you talking about?
From steroids. I've never heard this one.
I believe we talked about it on the show.
That lavender can create man boobs?
Let's go with bitch boobs.
Yeah.
I like that.
Bitch boobs.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I don't... Where'd you hear about this?
The interwebs told me.
Okay. Need verification on this, Nick. Oh, Look up lavender.
Yeah, he's spot on.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is Google lavender / boobs, and boy, you'd be amazed at what you find in the
interwebs. Nick, are we talking the actual application of ointments containing a lavender smell, or simply smelling it will give you a massive rack?
I think what Casey was referencing was lavender odors in shampoos, hair gels, body lotions, that type of thing. And it can, doesn't always, cause boys to grow man boobs.
All right, so here we go. This is from ABC Science. It says the lavender and tea tree oils found in some soaps, shampoos, hair gels, and body lotions can produce enlarged breasts in boys, researchers report. These plant oils were linked to abnormal breast development in three boys, which was reversed when they stopped using them, according to this doctor, the pediatric endocrine associate in Colorado.
So the study was done on three people?
I don't know. They say their study...
Might be three young men who wouldn't mind growing breasts.
Suggests these cells can act in ways similar to the hormone estrogen.
So the
study itself got published in the New England Journal of Medicine. So this is like a legit study.
So are we talking about the actual... So simply smelling will do that?
No.
Okay, so that's fine. No, I don't
shampoos,
do that.
Shampoos, hair gels, and body lotion. Nah. So the lavender and tea oil. The researchers found the condition in three otherwise healthy boys who were 4, 7, and 10 years old. So maybe it's only in younger people.
Preston, I use ointments that only contain apricot, and that gives you a huge dong.
Right?
Did you do a study on that?
I did.
Okay. On one guy?
I collected, yeah.
Yeah.
Data.
All right.
I actually hired three boys to come in.
Anyhow, lavender smells nice.
I do like lavender. Whether or not it gives me a sensational rack.
We've got like 8 lavender bushes in our backyard, and they smell lovely.
Yeah. Have you guys ever enjoyed a bath or done a bubble bath for yourselves or something like that, or Calgon?
The warm water goes away too quickly.
Yeah, I agree with Casey on that. You got to keep refreshing it. Maybe we have a hot tub. That's a different story. But the regular bathtub, the only time I usually take them is when I need to soak for whatever reasons, like put some Epsom salts in there. Joints, aches or pains, or, you know, I don't know, swamp ass or something like that. You want to get in and soak it out?
Got rid of my swamp ass. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Madge.
Let me go to some other calls of men who want things that are considered more non-masculine. I'll go to Mario. Mario, good morning.
How could you be so sure?
Are you sure?
How could you be so sure?
All right. What's up, Mario?
Hey, so I like getting candles. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
You like getting candles?
Candles.
There's nothing wrong with a good candle, especially if it's like a Doug Fir scent or like a pine tree scent or something like that.
Why do you have to qualify it with the masculine smells?
Well, what about like...
Don't you like lavender? Don't you like a nice set of hefty breasts?
Eucalyptus?
That's true. I like eucalyptus spearmint. I'm all about it.
There you go.
All right. Mount coriander.
See? Now he knows. Now he's giving all the information.
I like it.
Where's Kathy at?
Mario, will you light a candle in the evening? You light a couple candles?
Yeah, I light one. I don't like them to interfere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sounds like a Bed Bath & Beyond.
It can cause noxious fumes if you have the wrong
exactly
sense.
Exactly correct. And I don't want man boobs. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. No. Yeah,
at least not now.
Thank you, Mario. Nice talk to you. Nick pulled up this. Nick pulled up this interesting thing about candles the other day.
Oh, right.
And how their scents. Some of them are named very plainly. You know, rose, cinnamon, vanilla. But then they start getting into this territory where it's like, what?
What?
It's like, Nick, did you find it?
The ones that profess to capture an attitude,
right? Well, here you go. So like, this one says black cherry on it. Okay, I think we all know what that is. Then we start getting into the other ones, and these are from, like, Yankee Candle. Clean cotton.
Yeah.
Then you have cliffside sunrise.
Ooh.
Autumn sunset.
Do you carry cliffside sunrise?
Sunny daydream.
Do you carry Sunny Daydream?
There's one called The Last Paradise.
For me, they all smell disgusting.
Oh, here's one. All is Bright.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting into, like, esoteric themes at this point. Like, what the hell does All is Bright smell like?
I think...
the candle called Not Quite Myself.
All is bright. Is it a holiday candle? That's what I would think. Yeah,
I guess. But
all is bright.
Yeah.
The way that it's written, it says, this scent represents only an intrinsic property and a property that itself has no aroma.
Right,
does
exactly.
it smell like the baby Jesus?
There you go.
Does it smell like frankincense and myrrh?
Well, see, no, those would actually be scents.
Those are actual things, yeah.
Sweet Nothings is another one. And then there's one called, now this has a flavor.
Falcon Punch?
No, it's called Bacon. But I like it. Falcon Punch.
Two fingers?
Somebody had sent me years ago these candles that had these great names to them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, remember those?
I still have it somewhere.
Yeah. They were fantastic. They were called, like, the Freshman 15.
Right. And one was like, I got a failed divorce.
Yeah. Right.
Failed marriage.
Excellent. Yeah, your husband took one that was something with football. Don't you remember?
No.
I'll tell you what. Candles are sort of a standard holiday gift to give, and I would say... Mm-hmm. Oh. Find out if the people you give candles to routinely actually like them.
No.
A lot of times our candles just end up in the jack-o'-lanterns we carve for Halloween.
That's not a bad idea.
All right, well, here's some other people that want to chime in on what they would like, guys who would like something that is not really masculine for Christmas this year. I'm going to go to Frank. Hey, Frank, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Frank. All right, so what non-masculine thing would you ask for?
Well, it would just tickle me to have a spa day.
A spa day.
Just tickle you to death.
It would. And like Nick said, he'd want one too. But see, I wouldn't want to go by myself.
Oh, you want to go together? Is that what you're saying?
I also fell off a mountain. We
connect. Oh, see?
it was a mountain bike. But, I mean, close.
That's close enough.
So what would you ask? Because, you know, Frank, there's usually a whole menu of options. What do you think you would gravitate towards in a spa?
Oh, I want the whole kit and caboodle.
Everything?
I want the toes plucked. I want a Brazilian.
Could you pluck my toes?
You do want to finish with a facial, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Luke, can you come in here?
Wait.
That's not manly at all.
No, listen. So have you? So I assume you've done, Frank, you've done a spa day in your life, right? You've gone to a spa? Never?
No.
All right.
No,
yeah. All right. Are you married or have a girlfriend or?
I'm engaged.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Ask
you
her
should
for
do
him,
it. Yes.
She would probably love to get you that.
You think I should let her give me a facial?
Yes. Absolutely. Have her brother do it.
Yeah. All right, Frank. Ask for that. Honestly, go for it. You really should. I think that women would love to get guys something that is out of the ordinary and maybe down that path.
You want to talk about a wee gift? Couples, spas and routinely will go in and get this done.
Yeah.
When I finally acquiesced to the notion of going for a spa day or a massage or whatever, it's great. I can, you know, like a real deal Swedish massage or something. It's it's excellent.
Yep.
My problem is I'm too chatty. I always feel like, I won't listen to the contemplative music system and just shut up. I have to talk to the people because I feel like, why? I feel so sorry for you having to touch me.
Yeah, but why would you think that they would want to talk to you?
I don't. Yeah. I can't, but
yeah,
it's just my thing.
Actually, they're working. They might want to
they
focus.
They want me to shut up.
They might want to focus on what they're doing.
In fact, they usually say, shut up.
And they're like, oh, great. We got a talker again.
Shut up.
Let me go to Danny. Hi, Danny. Good morning.
Gadzooks,
buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it. All right, so what is it you would like to get that is, considered non-masculine?
Same thing I ask for every year. A nice, good, old-fashioned pedicure.
A pedicure?
Yeah, baby.
I know dudes who dig pedicures.
Do you usually get it?
I get one once a month.
Once a month? Nice.
Good for you, Danny.
I was my girl and rub my feet on her, and she thinks she's sleeping next to Golem.
you have like horrible feet, and they take care of it. Do you like, in addition to a pedicure, don't they always do like a lower leg massage?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing about it is, I work 6 days a week, and I'm on my feet, so I can have a day where I get my feet massaged, make them look all nice and on point. That's what I'm talking about.
Did you say all nice and on point?
Love it.
I like
Danny.
Him. I like
That's
his
the
idea.
Best.
Hey, I think guys should have groomed fingernails and toenails. Whether you're going for a pedicure or, not necessarily, you don't have to do it at work. You could wait till you get home in your own home, but whatever, as long as it's groomed.
Well, can I consider, because I gnaw my nails off. Is that good grooming?
No. That's not good grooming.
But listen, I could see if you're like Danny and you are on your feet all day long.
Yeah.
You totally should go get your feet pampered a bit.
I stand throughout the entire show.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what's the hesitation at this point for, like, if it feels nice and you're treating yourself, like, who cares?
You go to prostitutes.
Yeah, that's manly.
Yeah.
That's when the whores come in.
oh, my God, I got a prostitute day. Thank you so much. Oh, my God. Don, would you like to go with me? We're going to have prostitutes.
Steve, isn't it prostitutes?
Then yeah, prostitutes. Prostitutes. As Bill says, prostitutes.
What were you going to say, Kath?
There's a guy who comes to my nail salon. I mean, everybody knows him. He's there often, but he'll come in for a manicure and a pedicure, and he doesn't get nail polish or anything. He's just, you know, I guess enjoys the relaxation and, you know, grooming of his hands and his feet.
Huh. All right, hang on a second.
And that's when the whores come in.
I can see that, especially if you have gnarly feet, because, you know, calluses or things start to build up. As he was saying, it's a part of the job that he has to put up.
I get pedicures the time.
Some other thing on other things on this list of a Reddit thread of what men would, what sort of non-masculine gift do they want? Skincare stuff. A few people had said one of them wanted a paraffin wax hand bath.
It all you notice this is all falling in the spa category.
Mm-hmm.
Those are cool though.
What
that's
is
like
it?
It's like almost like a I think it's like a wax.
It's like a fleshlight.
Similar to a wax feeling, and it like kind of sets on your hands.
Does
and
it?
You let it sit. Yeah, and then you peel it off, and your hands are so soft,
silky smooth, and everything. Okay. Then there, somebody had said a very soft, big teddy bear. They said I have trouble sleeping at night, so they want a big, soft teddy bear.
What is it? What are they? Yes, if you want, if you sleep better with that, and you want a teddy bear, I like a. You know, you have your pillows that you love,
and you know what? I want some new ones. I want new flat pillows.
Oh, flat?
Yes. See, they
flat.
Have very,
that's
very
important.
Very thin.
Yeah.
Very thin. Yeah, absolutely.
And flat.
Like Kathy's friend, who's had her pillows for 20 some odd years. She's even named them. She takes them with her on vacation.
Hooey was one of the names.
They're thin pillows. And I need that. I want that, and I want them for our shore house. I want to get some thin pillows, so I want those for Christmas. Rochelle tried to get me a pillow. She got me a squishy pillow.
Oh.
That's not what
woman, no. Get in here!
I want a thin... What have you done?
What have you done?
I want a thin pillow. Thin pillows.
What didn't you get about thin? Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're both Sleep Number bed prophets, have you ever considered getting the adjustable bed?
No, not for me. Rochelle wants that.
Do you sleep on your back?
I don't, because I have apnea, and I will snore, and it will wake me up. So I sleep specifically on my side all the time. So I can't. It wasn't more for me.
It's
Rochelle
godsend.
Wants that.
Oh my God! Yeah. It only enhances the way you sleep. I think.
Also on this list, somebody had stated a guy would like flowers. He said flowers would be very nice.
I don't. Flowers to me are lovely. I would. Not
you know what?
Be into that.
I like them. When Michelle, when we get flowers delivered for whatever special occasion, a birthday or a holiday or whatever, and we get a new bouquet of flowers, and she'll put them out in our kitchen.
You like the smell?
No, I just like the way they look.
Okay, no, that
I think they look great.
Would you like to burn up a gift with that, though?
I don't, you know what? Yes, they don't last.
Right.
You know, you get less than a week out of them, and that's pretty much it.
I was just watching a commercial where they gave a car to the guy.
But there are services that you can do, like
keep them fresh.
Yeah, like once a month, fresh flowers delivered to you. That's kind of a cool gift, I think.
I have the service that delivers fresh prostitutes.
That's when the whores come in.
That's when the whores come in.
That's good. You get fresh ones. They're not get bored.
These are wilting.
That's good.
I don't feel so good.
You guys would like chocolates as a as a gift.
So so Preston and Rochelle 1 year got me the cookie of the month club.
Yes,
ooh.
That's right.
Home run.
Nice.
Right.
Nice. Yep.
That's a good idea, Kathy. For the guy in your life who likes, you know, there's so many good. Gourmet delivery places now that'll do it.
Yeah. Here's a someone on this Reddit thread had said, I want two small cactus.
Is it
cacti?
Cacti.
I guess it would be cacti.
What about is jewelry on the list?
Somebody said earrings.
Okay.
You know, because I mean, you know, a watch or a ring or something like that.
Right.
They make manly versions of that.
Spa and jewelry day after your facial, a pearl necklace.
Sign me up.
Speaking of watches, I want to go to Brian because he's got an interesting situation. Hey, Brian, good morning.
All right, so let me preface this by saying I've never worn a watch in my life.
Okay.
And my grandmother, every year, we go over there, and she gets me a gift. And every year, I'm like, ooh, what is this? And I know it's going to be a watch.
Okay.
And every year, she gets me a woman's watch.
Like one of those really dainty, itty-bitty women's watches?
Yeah. And they're like from Moscow. They're like, I don't know, $3.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So if you're in the market for women's watches, I have about 37.
Brian, the guy with the overcoat, you open it up, there's like 15 watches hanging on your inside.
Brian, is it like a Christmas story where she's laboring under the misconception that you're a woman?
I'm not sure. I don't think I look like one, but I don't know.
You know, okay. But Brian,
have a good one.
Have a good one. Brian. He raised a good point. You know, during COVID, like I would always wear my Apple Watch, and over years I had to train myself to wear a watch, and then I got used to it.
Yeah.
And then when you know the fear was everything you have on your body is a COVID magnet, you need to wash everything. Then I stopped wearing it. Now I would like to start wearing a watch again, but
you know what?
And I have.
I think I'd like to start. I think a watch is a nice accessory, and
I like Apple Watch is really a home run, Preston.
I don't like those.
Not into it. Yeah,
I like an old school.
I want a Rolex.
A Rolex.
I want a Rolex. No,
I just want like I want a leather band. I like. I prefer leather bands on watches. And one that has the old analog face on it.
I was going to ask you. Let me see your arm. Can you pull your arm up? I want to see like where you're. Yeah. So you wouldn't do well with like a chain link because you're.
Rip your hair out.
It pulls on the hair on your arms.
I used to, way back when I bought a gold Tag Heuer watch. It was kind of a gift for myself. We did for, anyway.
Yeah.
And I liked it and I wore it for a while. And then I got I don't like the metal. I prefer a leather band. So
that's, I'm actually. She's switching. I have a nice watch, and I'm going to try it, but I always found myself clanking doorways and things and catching the watch. And, you know, and then, of course, you, after the show, Preston, you and I work in the machine shop, and that's a liability.
You can get caught rip your arm through there.
Look at my wrist.
You're hairy. You're going to have to be careful.
Really?
You should shave your arms.
Do you want a Rolex, huh?
Okay. So here's the deal. I've been wearing a watch every day for a long time now, you know, years and years and years, and like... Not as an everyday watch, but
special occasion watch. Yeah, you don't go walking around Rittenhouse Square with them, dude. A couple people were ripped off the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right where
guns
we were.
On them. Yeah, and you know what they have? And I know we're getting off topic.
I know,
but you can buy like vintage ones,
which are really nice.
And Rolexes are one of those things where you don't have to buy those new. Like, there's a full market of used Rolexes out there, and they resell. Regularly, and you might be able to find a moderately priced one as opposed to a $30,000-$40,000, which
but
is
then you
got to
stand in the guy's driveway and walk around the watch and like there's a little body damage on it.
But anyway, all right, a couple of other things here. Hang on a second, the paraffin wax thing. Let me go to Nick. Hey Nick, good morning. There it is. All right, we had to wait. Steve had to get his reverb engaged. Yo, bud. All right, so you wanted to mention something you've gotten one of these spa treatments done before?
Yeah, so no, last year I asked for a paraffin bed. So I'm an underground plumber. I work with my hands a lot, and I got arthritis in both my hands, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So these paraffin beds, you put your hands in them for about like 10 seconds, and then you pull your hand down, and it's like a bunch of wax on your hands, right, that just sticks there. You peel it off, and it's like literally a rejuvenation for your hands.
Wow.
It feels like your hands have literally, it's like the fountain of youth, basically.
Nick, could you do that for your face? No, I'm saying, it's because it's not, right? It's not.
No, I think it's different. Like, the stuff that they put on your face is different.
It's more for, like, you could put your elbows in there, your feet, even
really?
If you wanted to, and it literally, you massage so I'll massage my hand after and, like, rub it in kind of like lotion, and literally for the entire day, like, I forget that I have arthritis, honestly. Like,
it helps alleviate the arthritis.
Yes, it's amazing, Steve. And, Preston, Steve, congratulations on the Hall of Fame. I was on your IG Live. It was amazing. Very happy for you guys.
Thank you.
Nick. I appreciate that, man. Thanks for the heads up on the paraffin wax. That's something to consider. I mean, he's a plumber.
Yeah.
And if you know somebody who works with their hands regularly, that something like that, they might really appreciate that if it's going to make their hands feel better.
I think that's a good idea.
A lot of nail salons will offer it, like for your heels or, you know, whatever. They'll do your hands as well. But some if you go to like a spa, like a nice salon, and they do it, it's like you can sit in sit in a salt room, and then they put the paraffin on your hands.
Did you ever do, Kathy, the small dead flesh-eating fish?
Yes, I did.
Really?
Yeah.
And?
I didn't mind it. It wasn't bad. What kind of grossed me out was that they didn't change the water.
Ooh.
Well, I don't like that.
Yeah, and I was like,
but again, what are you going to do with the fish? You're going to net them out every time?
I guess you can't. And I did it with a friend of mine who didn't know until like the minute she put her feet in that she was ticklish and wasn't going to be able to handle it.
Oh, my God.
She literally couldn't handle it. Like, it was the funniest thing.
So it is ticklish. It is a tickle.
I was okay with it. Okay. Like, I didn't find it to be overly ticklish. Yeah. I mean, it's like a light, you know, sensation.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I liked it until I thought about the water, and then I didn't like it.
I mean, having animals, like, if you could have, like a hyena bite off your wart.
Yeah.
That'd you were okay cool. with the fish, but not with the water.
Yeah,
it was filthy.
Yeah, I was fine with the fish. It wasn't that big. They were like little goldfish.
Nick, they have them brush their teeth in between each customer, so she didn't have to worry about that. By the way, Rochelle just texted me. We apparently have a paraffin dip thing at home.
Oh, bring it in.
Let me bring it in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we do a chocolate fountain in it?
Well, I don't see why not.
I have a chocolate fountain. You want me to bring that?
Can we do our feet in that one?
Yeah. All right.
A paraffin fountain?
Yeah. All right. One last call because Dave's been on hold for a while. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. All right, what non-masculine thing it is that you are asking for the holidays this year?
A KitchenAid mixer.
A KitchenAid mixer. Oh.
That can go for, you know.
Could be a wee gift.
Yeah. I like that.
Do you cook a lot? Do you bake a lot?
I do 95% of the cooking. My wife is terrible at cooking.
All right, well, that makes sense.
It's one of those things. They've got a million accessories for them, and I've wanted one for years, and I finally decided to ask for it this year.
Go for it.
Yeah, they're kind of an essential.
Those are quality, and Rochelle was talking about us getting one of those, too, so that might be added to the list. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. I hope you get that.
Speaking of those, like, nuclear mixers, like the one he was talking about, I remember when we moved from our house in Manioc to our new home, and we were moving the mixer, it tilted on its side, and there was machine oil. Mm-hmm. Like, those things are really oiled up, apparently, inside, and so it was, like, leaking oil.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that it had that in there.
I guess so. Yeah, they're pretty industrial.
We have one of these, and I used it, I think, last year. I was making cake or something like that, and it is just, it took me a little while to figure everything out. Like, I couldn't, there's like little knobs and switches and everything. I was like, how do you get this bowl out of here? And I couldn't figure, but eventually, you know, it took me a little while. I didn't have to YouTube anything like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, anyhow, take stock in some of these things. And ladies, you might want to buy something for your gentlemen, even if they're not asking for it, like one of these paraffin wax things or a bath bomb or whatever it might be. They might dig it.
Help them to possibly find out that they like it.
A spa day, all that stuff. All right, anyhow, thanks for the suggestions. We appreciate it. Let's take a break and let's give away some Christmas miracle passes. It's 1 week from today.
It's Christmas miracle.
We're headed to parks.
Yeah!
And you are invited if you're caller number 15 or 16 at 215-263-WMMR and at least 21 years of age. Come and join us because, A, we're going to be broadcasting live and having a good time. B, we're giving away some great prizes. And C, we're having the ugly sweater contest as well. And Miller Lite is sponsoring that, so we got some prizes to give away. We might have live music, all kinds of things going on at parks 1 week from today, bright and early. So if you want to join us, be those callers now. We're going to take a break, come back in a second, some bizarre file stories to share with you.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-O-B-
Bizarre File Stories.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you this morning by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. You can download the DraftKings app and use the code ROCK to get in on the action. Let's begin with this horrific story. A federal jury in Miami convicted a man of kidnapping the plastic surgeon who had treated his wife and torturing him with a blowtorch to get money from him.
Did he screw her up?
No, and I was wondering when I initially dove into this story if that might have been the case, some kind of a revenge thing, but it seems like it's just a theft. It's like they held this guy and they were trying to get his money. I don't know why, you know, he would go after the guy that, didn't work on his wife, but federal prosecutors had brought the case against 56-year-old Sergei and Karina, who was found guilty of conspiring to commit kidnapping and kidnapping earlier this week.
What did they do with, I mean, was the blowtorch actually held on them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'll get to that. Geez. And Karina could face up to life in prison at his sentence hearing in February. They intend to appeal the verdict. U.S. attorney said that in Karina and another man who already pleaded guilty plotted to kidnap the plastic surgeon. A prosecutor said that they placed a GPS tracker on the bottom of his car, bought several devices from hardware and medical supply stores, and rented a storage container in Margate, Florida. It was and Karina and the other man that kidnapped the man on January 14th as he was leaving a supermarket with groceries by using a stun gun on his neck and throwing him into a van.
It's horrible.
At the storage container, they tortured him for hours and burned his hands with a blowtorch to force him to reveal the security gate and door codes to his home, prosecutors said. And this guy's a surgeon.
Burning his hands. Yeah.
But as they were trying to rob his home, they were scared away because there was a doorbell security camera, and they abandoned the plan and left the victim at a strip club parking lot.
So they go through all this stuff, and a Ring doorbell is what does him in?
Yep.
So, Jesus.
Going to jail probably for life. So the sentencing is coming up. Yeah, exactly. All right, this is really interesting. A travel writer's review of a bizarre restaurant meal she had went viral because of how crazy the experience was, and the chef responded by comparing the food to abstract art. So it was Geraldine DeRuiter wrote on her blog, which is called The Everywhereist, about a meal at a place called Bros, which is a restaurant in Lecce, Italy, that has a coveted Michelin star. Huh. So DeRuiter and her friends were served 27 courses over more than 4 hours. But she wrote, there was nothing even close to an actual meal served. Listen to this. The courses included edible paper slivers, meat molecules served with eyedroppers, frozen air, which was melted before it would be eaten, vinegar shots, a tablespoon of crab, and fried cheese balls with what the service emphasized was rancid ricotta. They were also given reconstituted orange slices alongside actual orange slices, but the real slices were only for decoration. Strangest of all was a citrus foam served in a plaster cast of the chef's mouth.
What?
Which was served without utensils because diners were meant to slurp the foam out of the plaster mouth with their own mouths. And the cost for it for all eight people was more than $1,500. After the review went viral, Chef Florian Pellegrino wrote a lengthy response that included three drawings of a horse, which all boiled down to basically comparing the food to abstract art, concluding that contemporary art does not provide you with answers but offers you great questions. Contemporary cuisine should do the same.
I don't think so.
That is bizarre.
I think when you're hungry, you should eat food that makes you not hungry.
Nick has found
not air.
Photos of some of the food, and the mouth thing is really disturbing looking.
I don't like it. I'd be furious.
Yep.
Where's my corn dog?
A former Winslow police officer has been decertified. Listen to this story. After officials say the department's canine mated with his dog, and the officer lied about it. And his resignation also comes following allegations of sexual contact between himself and a dispatcher.
So the two dogs got it on?
Yeah, so documents revealed that rumors began in early March that the department's canine had fathered a litter of puppies with Officer Jared Jake's German Shepherd. Jake initially denied the allegations on March 7th, where he provided vet receipts showing that the department canine had been neutered. Later that month, the husband of a Winslow dispatcher filed a complaint alleging that Jake was involved in an on-duty relationship with his wife. At that point, an internal investigation began. An interview conducted on April 1st asked the Winslow dispatcher if the two kissed more than once, to which she responded three times at work. One in dispatch, one in the sergeant's hallway in his office, and one outside of the back parking lot.
But he claims he couldn't kiss because he was neutered.
Jake's wife was interviewed and said that she knew that the department canine hadn't been properly neutered and that he still had one of his testicles.
By the way, I still got a couple bullets down there.
Authorities were able to confirm the bloodlines of the puppies after a DNA test.
Daddy.
I don't know why the big deal about the dogs, but apparently they made a big deal about it. On April 9th, Officer Jake denied that the department canine had mated with his family's German Shepherd. Investigators confronted him, saying that his wife had told him that they had.
I'm intimate with my dog all the time.
Jake then admitted to seeing a video of the two dogs mating.
A video?
Reportedly discovering that the department canine still had one testicle. Later, Jake was asked if he had physical contact with the dispatcher. He expressed that he had some contact, but it was only kissing, and denied having an on-duty sexual relationship with her.
Insane.
He described the contact as touching her neck and hips with his hands.
Uh-huh.
He also confirmed that the contact happened three times, which is what the dispatcher told investigators in an earlier interview. But 3 days later, he resigned from the police department. After resignation, the dispatcher told investigators that she had wished to correct her statements. She said, "I wouldn't say I lied. I just withheld information." And then she admitted that they were having sex while on duty.
Oh, there we go. Finally, it all comes out.
It all came together. So
now,
so,
do you have something to tell us?
So anyhow, the dog thing I just found very bizarre. That was
very very upsetting to him, apparently.
All right, then one last story before we wrap this particular segment. Let's go with this one. A man who told police that he wanted to steal a jet so he could fly to Area 51 to look at aliens was arrested Wednesday when he drove through fences at the McCarran International Airport in a limo parked on an aircraft ramp and then made a bomb threat.
So he was driving the limo, or was there a chauffeur?
No, I don't think he had a driver. I don't think he hired the driver.
Drive me through that fence. I want to go see some aliens. Right away, sir.
The Las Vegas Metro Police Department says the suspect was wearing a clown mask. And the man fled after making the bomb threat, but they were able to stop the vehicle and immediately detain the man.
Was there anything unique or strange about this case?
No, not at all. It was your standard run-of-the-mill, traffic violation.
Clown in a limo going to see aliens.
During the incident, the suspect nearly crashed into several planes, disrupted air traffic, and prompted a major response by Las Vegas police and the FBI. So,
General, we have a clown who wants to see aliens. You know what that means.
Dude's in trouble.
Activate Omega.
All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you right now. All right, we're going to take a break, but not before I tell you about the fact that we have a new Daily Rush video that is available for you to check out. And if you have, if you follow us on Instagram, we have already sent it to you. But it's when our friend Frank Caliendo stopped by. He did some impressions that were so cool. He had some new ones, and a lot of them come from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
So you can check out him doing Thor and Loki, Tony Stark. He also did
Mark Ruffalo.
Hulk, and it was really, really cool. So that is available now, and it's sponsored by Xfinity's Gig Speed Internet, and you can learn more at Xfinity.com, by the way. We're going to take a break, and as we do so, don't forget, it's today is Tattoo Day. So if you're interested in getting a presidency tattoo from, of course, Floating World Tattoo and Piercing, text the word tattoo to 39333, because we'll get a winner before the show is over. Back in a moment.
The MMRE is coming to your neighborhood.
Join Casey Boy from the Preston and Steve Show Thursday from 7 to 9 at Franzone's, 1940 Main Avenue in Conshohocken, for the Bud Light Thursday Night Kickoff. Enter for a chance to win Eagles-Cowboys tickets and a Jordan Mailata signed helmet courtesy of Bud Light. Plus, enjoy $3 Bud Light drafts.
All right, Casey, you just handed me this. Apparently, the Evanescence Hailstorm Show, which was for this week, has been postponed. But not too far away. It's going to be in January. It's going to be Sunday, January 16th. All tickets will be honored for the new date. There was a statement. Part of the statement said, all right, guys, we're calling it. We're going to have to pick up these last few shows in January. We've done everything we could try to make it work. But with multiple positive COVID tests in our touring party, it just wouldn't be right to continue the show as scheduled. And all bands and crews have been so diligent with every precaution to keep this from happening. But this virus is a real bitch, and we are all vaccinated, and nobody's symptoms are severe. We are very grateful for that. So keep that in mind.
There you go.
If you had the tickets for this week, the 17th, it is moving roughly a month away. So January 16th is when that will be, and you just hang on to your regular ticket.
That's it.
And that is going to get you in, so heads up on that. May I do a butt plug here real quick?
Sure.
Got an email, Steve, somebody was... listening and heard about you wanting to donate toys.
Yes.
And you were having a hard time finding a Toys for Tots location. Well, this is a different toy donation. This is from Kathy Oskowiak. Oskowiak.
Yeah, it's a hell of a name.
She gets her name mispronounced all the time. She's the founder of Foster Angels on Earth. She said, our mission is to bring awareness to the issues children face in foster care and provide various support to help bridge the gap within their peer group and systems which affect their lives. So I started the program about 14 years ago after we adopted our youngest son from foster care in Philadelphia. I'm a pediatric nurse, did some contract work for the agency. I provide training classes for foster parents, and I also would go to foster parents' homes of children with medical needs. And I always thought if children were in foster care, they were taken care of and had a pretty decent life. I was sadly mistaken. My eyes were open to a world I knew nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I started a community service project with my Girl Scout troop about 14 years ago. I provided holiday wishes to about 50 foster children from the agency where we adopted Kevin, my son. And then she goes on to tell the story about how they stuck around in their 501c3 group and all that. So anyhow, I wanted to pass that information along because I thought that sounded like a great organization.
I got a whole bunch of information, but I definitely was caught by this one. So I think that's we're gonna donate over there with you because we have these toys ready to go.
She said, we are small but mighty. It's 100% volunteer. 90 to 95% of the money donated goes directly to the children. We have a small overhead for our storage unit and other small necessities. So anyhow, their website is fosterangelsonearth.com, or you can just do a search on social media for the Foster Angels on Earth. So I thought that was nice. And thank you, Kathy, for reaching out. We do appreciate that. I'll give you, Nick, if you can post that information.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I just found their Instagram, too. So they've done Giving Tuesdays, and it's Foster Angels on Earth _INC.
Nice. Here's a shout-out. Says, good morning, It. My name is Jeff. I was wondering if I can get a shout-out. My big brother, Matt, who turns 40 on Thursday, December 16th. After tomorrow. He has been an avid listener for over 15 years after moving to Philly from Colorado for the amazing opportunity to be a, quote, pool boy. He is now a senior chemist at a local silicon company, and I know he credits a lot of his success to your amazing show, keeping him bright and happy no matter what job he is driving to. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame in Gadzook. That's from Jeffrey Smith, and he said, we podcast, so anytime in December works. So here's a shout out to the pool boy. and then let me do one more quick one, and I have some other ones that I'm going to get to eventually. Okay, this one says, hey, my name is Becky Angelo. I'm the sister of Megan. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not Angelo. It's Algio. And the sister of Megan Algio, one of your biggest fans and captain of the Air Force who passed away suddenly last March. You were kind enough to read her fiance Matthias's tribute on the air on March 9th. And I was hoping you could give us one more shout out. I'm getting married to my best friend, Robert Beyer, on Saturday, December 18th. He is my world. Without him, I wouldn't have made it through such tragic loss. He is my rock and an amazing father to our 7-year-old named Ryan, and we are happily expecting another one.
Nice.
We love bathroom humor, so I thought this was a very appropriate way to celebrate our wedding. Thank you for keeping us smiling day in and day out. Happy holidays to you all. Sincerely, Becky. So there's a shout out and good luck to you guys. We appreciate you reaching out. You know what? I noticed a couple of things worth mentioning this morning on the show.
The noticer has noticed things worth mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to notice like no one can, so you don't have to.
All right, we're going to start
across an empty field, down a vacant alley, his eyes darting back and forth. Not wearing his mask, but we'll let him get away with it.
All right, thank you.
The noticer has arrived.
We'll start off in the world of automotives. Motor Trend has awarded the 2022 Truck of the Year Award to the Rivian R1T. It's a month after the Lucid Air won the Car of the Year Award. And in each case, this is the first time any automaker has won the award with its very first vehicle.
So they're two separate companies, right?
Yes.
Okay, and out of the blue, I mean, first shot at it, they got it.
Their very first vehicle that they created has won Car of the Year. Tesla won Car of the Year in 2013 with the Tesla Model S, which is another electric vehicle from the startup automaker, but that was Tesla's second model. This one, however, was the first model ever that these have ever created. The Rivian R1T is also the first truck not made by one of the traditional Detroit's big three automakers to win the award since 2008.
Where is it? Where is it? Is it made domestically or is it?
You know what? I don't know where the company is, Steve.
I've never heard of this brand, so I'm curious to hear what the specs are on this.
I've seen the pictures of it before. Ed Lowe, head editorial for Motor Trend, said Rivian's win is even more remarkable than Lucid's because of the challenge that pickup trucks represent. Trucks are called upon to perform a much broader range of functions than cars, said Lowe, while providing a comfortable ride and good driving experience. Truck manufacturers also tend to be rather conservative when designing new models. Motor Trend writers said not wanting to risk proven and highly profitable designs. The top-selling vehicles in America are the Ford F-Series and Chevrolet Silverado. This year's finalists for the award included other non-traditional pickups, such as the GMC Hummer EV, another all-electric truck, and the Hyundai Santa Cruz, which is essentially a crossover SUV with an open cargo bed.
Rivian is based out of Irvine, California, Steve.
All right.
The Rivian R1T is the first commercially available electric vehicle with four motors, one to power each individual wheel.
Okay, so I bet you that weighs a lot, we get the batteries and everything, it's going to weigh a lot.
That allows greater off-road capability because power can be sent precisely to the wheels with the most traction.
So for this, that's obviously a big advantage. So what is the cab capacity and everything like that?
I don't know. I don't have all those specs on it.
It's pretty interesting looking.
By the way, so when driving on pavement, it also helps with cornering, giving the R1T on-road similar performance to a luxury sedan. When testing Rivian's competitor, the Hummer EV, Motor Trend staffers were impressed with the truck's power and quickness, but not with its enormous weight, over 9,000 pounds.
That's what I was figuring.
Or its brakes, which, according to the riders, weren't up to the task of quickly stopping all of that mass.
9,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's massive.
So what is a standard competitor go for, like the Ford, weight wise?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. I know that cars are in that 4,000 to 5,000 pound range, I think.
Yeah, I think the electric cars are. I know that.
No, I mean like a regular
car, about 4,000 or 5,000 pounds.
Yeah, okay. Somewhere around that range, from what I understand. But nonetheless, these guys have won it on their first time out. That's massive, man.
It's pretty wild.
I love to take an award like that.
I love to see more participants in the, to give you more options.
Mm-hmm. So Connor had a video running here in the studio, and I noticed the last second that it did have an MSRP in the lower left-hand corner.
I have no idea what this costs.
Yeah.
No idea.
Pull that video back up, because it said maybe 67. 67,000.
Right. That's not crazy. Especially for, how much? I've never priced trucks in my life.
No,
they've got to be expensive.
I flirted with was the Raptor, which I thought was kind of really cool at one point. But what I use it for?
Right.
What to put my.
Did you price those out?
I did at the time, and I forgot what it was.
Okay.
Going for.
I have no clue.
Yeah, when you have a truck, then you are the guy that people call.
Yeah, to move stuff.
Huh? Yep, most definitely. So anyhow, the Rivian R1T.
How about that?
2022 Motor Trend Truck of the Year.
All right, prices are called up here. Preston, the F-150. No, that can't be. Okay, 42.
42 grand, Toyota Tundra, 45. Average for a truck, I guess. Oh, it's used car price.
Oh, all right.
Oh. Talking to used car here. Need new car prices.
Yeah, man.
Man, what's that all about?
Come on, man. All right. I need a brand new whip.
All right. Anyway, I noticed some other things. Just thought that was kind of interesting to pass along to you. Kathy, I have an article about a really stupid suggestion.
Okay.
How to nicely signal to people that the party is over.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Getting people out of your house can be tricky after a gathering. Thomas P. Farley writes the nationally syndicated etiquette column called Mr. Manners.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, hosts never want to appear as though they are pulling the plug on an event that everyone is thoroughly enjoying, nor does a host want to make guests feel like they've overstayed their welcome. One of the prime directives of any host is seeing to the comfort and enjoyment of all guests. Diane Gottsman, who is an etiquette expert, says ideally guests should check the time and sense that the party's over without you having to imply that it is in any way. She says if you're a guest, the rule of thumb is that you don't want to be the first to leave and you certainly don't want to be the last. Gottsman adds that if you're hosting, you can be politely transparent with your guest and say something like, "It's been really nice to have all of you here tonight. I'm getting a little bit sleepy from the exciting evening. And I'm going to have to call it a night very soon. I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Oh my God, hold on. Let me get my script out.
And I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Can you run the prompter for me?
Oh my God.
Is that how you would do it?
No, the easiest way to end a party is stop opening wine or stop the alcohol.
Okay, so I did see a pretty good idea of when it's time to signal it without being overt about it is put on some coffee. Believe it or not, and you say, would anybody like any coffee?
Any coffee.
That kind of signals.
Wrapping it up.
Overwhelmingly.
Well, I'd love to just sit with my coffee and talk. God damn it.
That we are done. So once you start to offer coffee, people should get the hint.
Our thing is, and it works, it's simple. We set a piece of furniture on fire.
Okay. Sorry, everyone.
Run!
Flames
are spreading.
Depending on who is still left in your home, like if it's a close friend, you just say,
"Dude,
I'm going to bed." Yeah. You know, you got to go.
Yeah,
you know?
This is like your house. Party where you have a bunch of people. Wait, my brother just turned 40, and my sister-in-law threw a big party for him. It was great. Tons of people outside. You know, it was awesome. And at the end of the night, there were, you know, some family members left over, a couple of his friends, and his one friend was like, "Okay, I'm just going to head inside and say goodbye to him." My brother had gone to bed. That's one way.
I mean, so how long, even if, like, if you're just getting a get together with friends?
Like, how long does like a typical party?
What is the usual duration?
I would say, for me, if I were to throw a party, I would say 3 to 4 hours.
That's my thing. 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah. Like, 3 is kind of short, but that's more for, like, baby showers or things that you don't want to drag on. If it's, like, an evening dinner party, you're having people over to eat and all that, I would say 4 hours.
4 hours is about right.
I like your brother's idea. I think I've murfed at my own party before.
Yeah.
Like, literally just... I'll just, you know, you do the Homer Simpson who's fading into the bushes thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Here you go. Yeah, Steve wants to chime in on that. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
My wife has ended parties tried to end parties at our house by just going to bed.
She just
announces, I'm going up.
Yeah.
And that works?
That's what Kathy was saying.
No, it doesn't work, huh? They know her, and they know that some people stick around, but when she's done, she's done. She announces it, and she goes to bed.
I also will start a party or a gathering earlier. Like, I'm fine with, like, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Saturday night? 3 o'clock. Yeah. Run over 3. Be gone by 7.
Like, an afternoon party is great, too.
It would be great. An air horn.
Yeah.
That would do
party
it,
over.
Right? That's perfect.
Yeah. That's perfect. I was talking to somebody. There it is. This is the one that I wanted.
The air horn.
Yeah. Time to go. I was talking to somebody the other week who there were people over at the home. It wasn't necessarily a party, but it was more of just a small type of gathering.
Right.
And there were a couple of people there that they didn't really know that well. Mm. And they stayed till 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning.
Come on.
No, no.
And I was even if I don't know you, at a certain point, especially after midnight, I would have to say, hey, listen, man.
Get out.
I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
You know, I have to, you know, I got to get up in the morning. I don't even owe you an excuse at this point.
Yeah. I'm out of food.
You know what? The other end of it, though, what I don't like is if I host the party and I've gone through the trouble of doing everything and, you know, then you're cleaning up after dinner and all that, and then you finally sit down to have, like, a glass of wine, and everyone's like, okay, well, we'll see you later. I didn't even get to, like,
I didn't have fun and
relax and, like, talk to you.
Somebody texts in, cleaning up, starting to clean up is definitely
that's my move.
Yeah.
As well.
I go in and start because I don't. If it goes late and then you're then after that, you got to hang out for another hour and a half while you're packing up stuff and like Tupperware and crap like that. No.
I like it to be cleaned.
Yeah.
In the moment. No, I do. I don't let it build up. So I'll clean as the party goes on.
My favorite ending of a party scene, if that's a thing in movies, is in Trading Places when Eddie Murphy goes over. He does the record scratch. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He just goes, get the F out.
Yes.
And that is it.
Party over. Cools out of my carpet.
Yeah.
I forget what I was going to say. The benefit of leaving a party early is that you don't have to help clean up, right?
This is true.
If you're there and the host starts cleaning up, it's like, oh, man.
Get your coat. Now. We got to go.
Pretend like you haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're going to be scrubbing dishes.
It's good to work on that internal clock, though, that you should be able to determine or divine that, okay, we're heading into the final stretch.
I think I, you know, need to take this moment to officially and publicly apologize to my wife for all those years of when I was drinking. Keeping her at a party a little bit too long.
Oh, I am really
sorry about that.
Okay.
Sometimes I didn't know when the party was over.
Right.
No, we got time.
So at this point in your lives,
they're moving.
on a Saturday night, you're at a party. When do you leave?
On a Saturday night at a party.
When the hors d'oeuvres come out.
I was going to say 10:30.
Yeah, 10:30.
Yeah.
By the time 11 starts rolling around.
Yeah.
You know, Marissa and her friends are just starting to go out.
Yeah. Pierre has just arrived.
It's time to hang it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's when it is.
Marissa goes out. She waits till the end of Svengoolie, and then she goes out.
Svengoolie. But if you need a script, remember, just say, it's been really nice having you all be here tonight.
This wonderful party.
I'm getting
out.
Your company has been wonderful.
Here, you can start off. Matt has a preemptive way. Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Good morning,
Matt. What's up, buddy?
So when I was married, my ex-wife and I, we would have parties quite a bit, and we were known for being a little more on the overt side. So there's a party favor you can get, and it says, please leave by 9, and we would hang that on the wall.
Oh, please leave by 9.
That's a great idea. Like that.
I've been overt, and, you know, obviously in a nice way, I'll say, I think it's time to wrap up, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've enjoyed having you all here, and it's been wonderful.
No, you're all special people in my life.
But I'm not doing it like 45 minutes into the gathering. It's usually, you know, after four and a half hours.
You entertain a lot.
We do, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have gatherings like in the, you know, fire pit stuff, not, you know, and then also, yeah, big family gatherings.
But people that attend your gatherings, they know. They know you, they know your wife, and it's like, all right, Steve.
Like DiCaprio at the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I come out with a flamethrower.
Yeah, Steve's setting stuff on fire.
Time to go.
Oh, man, they lost another couch.
All right, well, keep that in mind. If you're having a soiree this year, I have some other things I want to notice. And
for the noticer, what will he have noticed next?
You know what? This is a story from a gal on TikTok, and I thought this was kind of interesting. Her name is Nurse JJ. She posted
Dynamite
under a username, but the nurse shares behind-the-scenes tidbits from her job in the intensive care unit of a hospital where she works in the United States. Most notably, she's gone viral for revealing some of the most jaw-dropping deathbed confessions.
Wow.
That she claims to have ever heard while working, which include a few very interesting things. So unsurprisingly, some of the confessions are downright terrifying, and she said that she wishes some of those people had taken their secrets to the grave instead of telling her, as she now has to live with it. So in one clip, she shares how a patient confessed that he had, quote, unalived his neighbor, because of where he wanted to put his fence.
She said he killed his neighbor for the fence?
Yeah. Nurse JJ said, he creeps into my intrusive thoughts a lot. While she claims someone else told her, so I don't know the details beyond that, but she, yeah, somebody told her he killed his neighbor because of a fence issue.
Are there any legal aspects to like a deathbed confession if someone hears that?
That's a good question because, you know, there are some times where you can't share privileged information.
Like a priest who's hearing confession can't.
Yeah. At least I don't think they can, or they can be compelled to.
Right.
Something like that. I mean, that's not a HIPAA thing. That is
a love thing.
No. Well, so you're not bound by law. Like if somebody
right
on their deathbed.
Yeah, it's not private medical information.
Yeah, confesses to a horrific crime.
Oh, you would imagine.
You
I'm
owe
not sure
to that. The victim family to let them know. You know.
Another one says while she had claimed someone else told her that they believed that their uncle had been involved in a missing persons case. She said this girl went missing 30 years ago, and I think my uncle took her. The sweater in her missing poster was in his garbage.
Oh, boy.
Wow. And she explains how another person on their deathbed was a prisoner who said that they had taken the fall for their wife. After she killed the woman she had cheated on her with, or he had cheated on her with, as he felt guilty. Wow.
I was on the 14th season of The Bachelor.
That's your confession?
Yeah.
But some of those other confessions were still bizarre. Thankfully, not as scary. Quoting a patient in a different video, she said, I was a hairdresser for 20 years, and I kept all of the donated hair to knit blankets with. This is a deathbed confession.
It's not so bad. It's creepy, but not bad.
And another user reportedly told her how they had been stealing money from their blind friend. Oh, that's terrible. And then a sixth admitted to having two families and shared that they were worried about who would turn up at the funeral. So, yeah, I would imagine. Listen, you got to imagine that doctors and nurses
hear a lot.
Hear a whole lot. And especially if they're towards the end, maybe they're going to confide in someone just to get it out of themselves.
I wonder about the occurrence of making a confession like that and then pulling through. You know?
Yeah. I was kidding. I was delirious.
So clearly, it was the medication. I was out of my mind.
All right. Another interesting story that I noticed. I'm noticing this on behalf of Steve Morrison, who sent it to me. Homer Simpson has got some great health insurance, or he should have some. Over the course of 30-plus seasons, Homer has been harmed on The Simpsons probably more than any other character, often getting struck with new painful injuries in every episode. And if these were all real injuries to be treated at a hospital, the bills would mount up very quickly. In fact, a new study claims that the Simpson family patriarch would have racked up an astonishing $143 million in medical bills.
Oh, my God.
The study was commissioned by Downtown LA Law Group, which is a leading accident and injury law group. And
wubba, wubba, wubba.
They created a Homer Simpson medical bill rap sheet.
It's great.
The group researched the injuries sustained from his accidents on the show and the subsequent cost of the medical attention. So the top three most expensive injuries that Homer Simpson sustained are number one, brain damage,
okay,
which would cost $1,525,000.
He has a great line where he says, oh, I hope I didn't bring my damage.
He had paralysis at one point.
All right.
Remember, was that the one where he had the crayon jammed in his nose and he became...
Yeah. Well, he also did that that ayahuasca pepper right one time where Johnny Cash showed up.
Was the coyote?
Yeah.
$508,000 for that. And then... the third most expensive injury was radiation exposure, and that was a $150,000 treatment for him. To gauge the medical bill of each individual injury, the attorneys identified the average cost for each suspected injury and looked at 50 well-documented accidents across multiple series of The Simpsons. These injuries span across multiple broken bones, head injuries, animal attacks, and food poisoning. In terms of the most common injury sustained, Homer's clumsy nature has seen him fall over down the stairs and off of roofs, breaking numerous bones on 10 separate occasions, costing him an estimated $48,000 each time. He also sustained 8 concussions throughout the 50 episodes analyzed. The only analyzed 50 episodes But they did some math for this.
So they got an average, basically.
Yeah, so three of those falls coincided with this fall. I'm sorry, three of those concussions coincided with this falls, costing an estimated $800 for each incident. The estimated total cost of injuries, if things were an average medical bill, at $10,107,000. The total would equate to a staggering $143 million over the course of the 706 episodes. And prices are based on if Homer was a real person and medically uninsured. So that.
And we assume he's probably uninsured.
How often he is injured on that show. $143 million worth of That's medical crazy. Bills. I love it. Wow. Do we have time for any more? Or do we need to
you
wrap up?
You know what?
We've
got to wrap up.
We've got to wrap up the Noticer. Sorry, gang.
The Noticer got to notice some things for us.
I noticed
he's got to go back to the Noticer cave.
Yeah, I'll come back another time. We'll do this again. We'll take a break, and we have a guest coming up. Our buddy Jim Florentine's going to be joining us, but let's invite you to a little party that we are throwing, and it's 1 week from today at Parks Casino. We'll take callers 10, 11, and 12, 215-263-WMMR. You get to join us at the Christmas Miracle.
Yeah! It's a Christmas miracle!
Hell yes.
Yeah!
And woo-hoo! We have amazing prizes to give away. And don't forget to wear your ugly sweater because the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Contest is taking place. You have to be at least 21 and available to join us early next Tuesday. Almost said Thursday. 215-263-WMMR. Let's take those callers now. Back in a moment with Quarantine.
If your Christmas tree was lacking in MMR gear from your loved ones... Not to worry. Head over to the Rock Shop at WMMR.com and pick out something that rocks for yourself. There's t-shirts, hats, mugs, and a whole lot more. So peruse and purchase now, because you can't really have a great new year without some new kick-ass MMR gear. Get yours now at WMMR.com.
Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
The next guest is going to be in the area. He is going to be performing at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club Friday and Saturday night. And shows are at 8 p.m., I believe. And also, he's got his Bite the Bullet special, which is out for free.
Yeah.
On YouTube. Please welcome our longtime friend, Mr. Jim Florentine.
Hey!
Is here. Good morning, Jim.
I feel like I'm actually in studio.
I know. We're doing this Zoom thing, and you're right here with us, man. Nice. And you look like you're at a comedy club. You got your standard brick background there.
I went to Lowe's, and I got two sheets of fake brick background.
Oh, my God.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's the standard. For the longest while, that was all the rage, right? How many comedy clubs have you played with that brick wall behind you?
It's good because it actually works. So you always thought, why? But you don't want any distractions behind you. You don't want like a lighted sign or anything like that. You just want people focusing on you on
right.
the stage.
So now that makes
the
sense.
Theory behind the brick background. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you're usually on fairly frequently, but you know, since then, and this popped up in some of the prep that we got. Are you working on an Andrew Dice, or do you appear in this Andrew Dice Clay documentary that we've been hearing about?
Yeah, they're doing a documentary on him. So all of his friends and people that had interaction with him and stuff. So I did my interviews a few weeks ago. Me and Jim Norton did them together. And I'm just telling stories of how we met him and, you know, opening for him and all that stuff. So I don't know when it's going to be out, but I think it's going to be really good. It's a really good story.
It is. You know, it's funny because he came in and we were excited to have him in. We hadn't had, you know, him in before. And he had a great time. And Preston and I, you know, and everyone, a lot of people had seen him in various acting roles outside of comedy. And like, he's really good, a really good actor. But the, you know, people forget the nuclear explosion that when he was in his heyday, he was just unstoppable. What was your takeaway? Anything you want to relay about, you know, your perception of Dice at that time?
he's the reason I went up on stage and started doing comedy. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in a band. I was DJing at a rock club, you know, I was trying to. And then I saw him on stage with that leather jacket and telling those dirty jokes. He was almost like a rock star. I'm like, wow, that's what I want to do. I was always a comedy fan. But once I saw his first special and all that stuff, it took me still a few more years to get up on stage to actually do it. But he was the one who inspired me to really get up there. And then when I wound up meeting him, I told him that. And he thought it was a really cool story. And then I wound up opening for him and becoming friends with him.
Oh, that's great. I have this story. I was in Colorado. We went on a ski trip, me and a bunch of buddies. And that night we had met some girls in this condo complex that we were staying in. We're like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're going to watch this Andrew Dice. It was his first big special. We're going to watch this Andrew Dice Clay special. Why don't you guys come over? Who's Andrew Dice Clay? Oh, he's a comedian. He's hilarious. Oh, my God. You're going to love it. And so he comes on. He starts doing his shtick. I'm cracking up. I'm absolutely losing. I look at the girls and I'm like, they're not laughing at all. And I'm like, you guys don't find this is hilarious. This, you know, I was like, I didn't get it at that point. That some ladies might be as slightly offended as how absolutely depraved as he got.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I always looked at it like it's not true. It's just a character he's playing up there. And if you can get past like some of those jokes, like his opening line, I'm in the line at the bank and I'm doing whatever. It's like, come on, did that really happen? That didn't happen. So I'm not believing that he did that.
Right.
So I understood, you know, that he was just but, you know, he was the first guy to actually get canceled, if you think about it.
Yeah, back
in 1990, 91, when his movie came out, they pulled it out of theaters.
Ford Fairlane?
Yeah, it hurt his career for a long time. He went away for about 10 years after that.
I'll tell you what, and not to spend too much time on Dice Clay, but as you said, it's a character. I mean, so he was looking for that character, hit upon that. And I remember, I think it was the HBO comedy from Dangerfields, and everyone was talking about it. When it went up on HBO, and that was the start of the whole deal. Mm. So, but it's weird when you were starting. Who besides obviously Dice existed? Who were the main contemporaries that you were working alongside when you started in comedy, Jim?
I went right in New York City right off the bat, and the two biggest guys, well, the three biggest guys in New York, were Louis C.K., Dave Attell, and Ray Romano.
There you go. Yeah.
And I would watch them, and I'm like, they would say, these are the big guys. And I would just sit in the back of the comedy clubs and just observe and watch all the comics and just learn. Hmm. You know, it was different from doing little bar gigs in New Jersey or Philly when I first started. But I said, like, these are the pros. Let me sit back and just watch and learn. And just, you know, and just going in like three or four nights a week and just, eventually getting up on stage there. But those were the guys when I first started with these. And look at their careers, those three guys.
Perennial. Yeah, David Attell is a friend of the show, he's come out and done charity stuff for us. And he's great. I mean, he's one of those people. Yeah, and I'm sure you have them in your life and people that you've known. Like when Norm MacDonald came in here, it's like, please let this dude like us. Because, you know, you're like such a fan. And I'm sure, you know, that you have that roster of people as well that you encounter that. Or maybe you don't want to encounter for fear that they're going to be dicks. But, you know, Attell was one I held in great reverence. And then meeting him and finding out he was a cool guy was just, icing on the cake.
The one other guy that really influenced me, and no one ever brings him up at it, which is weird as a comic, is Rodney Dangerfield. I was a huge Dangerfield fan. And I just loved how we had the quick one-liners, get to the joke right away. And when I started in these bars and these rock clubs, and they wouldn't turn the TVs off, and the Flyers were in the playoffs, and people weren't paying attention, I had to get to the punchline quick. So Rodney's, you know, style really helped me out.
Hey, let me ask you about that. When you're going, because, brevity is key when trying to be funny. I still haven't learned that. But if you know that a concept is good, like this is a funny concept, and you're having a hard time of getting to that concept quickly, what do you end up doing? Do you bring it to somebody else and go, how do I tighten this up? This is two sentences and it needs to be a half of a sentence. Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes you just got to listen. I record all my sets, so I'll listen back. I'm like, why did I need that long setup? I was just trying to help this comic I worked with this past weekend. I said, you really could cut all of that stuff down. Just get right to the point. Sometimes guys are good storytellers. Jim Brewer, amazing storyteller. You would never tell him to cut it down because he could just weave a story. Right. I'm not a great storyteller, so I'd rather get to the I set up punch every like 15, 20 seconds. I want a punch line. That's just my style.
One of my favorite things you've done, and the title is escaping me, but it was the album of you going through your old material. Uh-huh. And I mean, everyone's been there. I don't care if you've done comedy or maybe you read something that you wrote in high school or whatever. And you're going through it, and it is just nonstop hilarious. So you've always recorded and chronicled your stuff from the beginning? Because Seinfeld did that special where he kind of did a visual representation of the legal pads that he's written his bits on, and it's like an entire block, they equated it out. So do you have everything that you've ever worked on? Are you that kind of archivist for yourself?
No, not everything, but I did have, when I moved about 10 years ago, I found my old comedy notebooks from the early 90s when I first started, and I started going through this stuff, and I couldn't believe how bad the jokes were.
Right.
I don't know if I did them on stage, but I was like, it was so embarrassing, because when you first start doing comedy, you think within a year you're going to have your own HBO special. You think everything you write is going to be amazing. I can't take anything out, and I'm going to be a star soon. And then you realize when you get up there, like, it's not that easy. But writing, and I went through it, I'm like, I can't believe how bad this stuff. A lot of just bad puns. I was doing a bunch, and I wound up putting an album out because I was just like, these are the worst jokes ever.
But it was like the phoenix from the flames. They were born anew, and it is hilarious. I encourage people to check that out. But that because you asked, I guess you, in anything, like you think about a director, you know, looking at, a 3 or 4 hour movie that's their child, you have to get brutal with yourself and say, is this necessary? Do I need this? Is this just fluff? And as Casey says, brevity, but it's hard to learn that, especially when you're living with the material that you're creating. You know, you're living in your own head. It's hard to see what can go.
Look, it's just like a band. You know, I always say, you got 5 guys in a band and they're bringing their own songs or their own riffs to the studio to record a new album. And the rest of their band's got to go, no, that's not good. I'm sure there's a lot of hurt feelings between 5 people trying to collaborate at the same time.
Yeah.
If you're just jumping in, Jim's going to be playing Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club Friday and Saturday night. Jim, are you any good around the holidays, around Christmas time, as far as doing all the stuff that needs to be done? I mean, gift-giving, the whole package. Do you like this time of year?
No, I don't like it. No, it's annoying. But, I got a kid, so it's like I got to do it for the kids, so I got to build it up. We just decorated the Christmas tree. We put some lights outside. He likes that. I'll wrap a bunch of presents for him. I'll set it up Christmas Eve. But before I had a kid, I despised this time of year.
Really? Okay. Really? Is there a holiday on the calendar that you actually get into? Are you a Thanksgiving guy, or is it all just white noise?
I don't like Thanksgiving either because it's starting to get cold. The 4th of July, it's like the summer. That's a good one.
Okay, that's a good one.
It's funny because I didn't know until, probably like 10 years ago. I mean, my dad passed away a little while ago, but it was probably in the last couple of years of his life. I didn't realize that he wasn't a big fan of Christmas.
What?
Really? Yeah. And, I mean, listen, he was a deacon. He's religious and he's a deacon. So, he loves that aspect of it. But the whole Christmas morning, like, he was not a big fan of it, but I never knew that because he didn't act like that. You know what I mean? Like, he made it just as magical, as he possibly could for a child.
So you're saying Jim can pull off the ruse?
I believe that you are, right?
Do you and your son wear matching pajamas?
My dad and I did that.
Oh, you did?
Yes, absolutely. Like, my dad one Christmas wore, it had to have been, I think he wore red sweatpants, a red sweatshirt, and white suspenders. And I found white sweatpants, white sweatshirt, and red suspenders. And I did, and so that was something cool. I'm sure, you do these things for your children. Am I right, Jim?
Yeah, look, I grew up in a family of 7 kids, so my parents made it really special, too. There was a ton of presents. It took us like 6 hours to open all the presents. And my dad made us watch everyone open their own present. I'm like, I don't want to see my sister.
Right. That's the worst. It's the worst.
Yep. All right. But Jim, how did it go with hanging lights this past weekend?
Not too bad. I had some friends help too and stuff, but you just got to do it. The worst is taking them down. I'm always the last guy. Like February 3rd, I'm taking them down like the night before the Super Bowl because I don't feel, oh my God.
What is the homeowners?
Well, there is an option of not taking them down. You can leave them up year round and then they just become festive lights.
Say, that's the Nick option.
For 4th of July. Yeah. Like they're just as pretty in the summer as they are in the winter.
Yeah, I just I'll take them down at some point. But when I'm putting them up, I'm like, oh, this is going to be. I don't mind putting them up. It's okay. But then when you got to go out there on a ladder, I'm climbing on a ladder. I'm like, do I really want to be climbing on a ladder? My health insurance isn't that good.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe the real secret there, Nick, is to get like good LED lights that change colors. And then you just, okay, well, it's March, so they're going to be green, right?
Right.
And then and then red, white, and blue, and then orange.
Not a bad idea.
I know. But I think those are a little bit more expensive.
Probably, okay. Yeah. I want to ask you on that tree of yours, are there any heavy metal ornaments, anything that music-wise that I would assume that your tree might have a little bit of a metal influence to it?
Absolutely. There's a Lemmy ornament.
A Lemmy ornament?
Yeah, there's a Lemmy ornament. There's a couple of Slipknot guys, and I got Elvis.
Of course.
And a Gene Simmons. There's a Gene Simmons. Of course, Kiss is going to have ornaments.
I'd like to see that tree. Is there a picture of it anywhere up on your social?
No.
All right.
But I'll send it over to you guys. It's not that, you know.
Well, yeah, we want to see those ornaments.
Though. Yeah, a Lemmy ornament. Yeah. That's not in the Hallmark collection, I'm assuming, right?
No, it's not. No, it's him holding a bass. It's really cool.
Nice.
But yeah, so I put that. So I look forward to putting that on. And, you know, I want to put him on the top. And dad's like, my son's like, Dad, he's not an angel. He's an angel in my book.
Lemmy's my angel. Well, we have to ask you. We had Adam Ferrara on, and he was, you know, he's big into the Beatles and Get Back, the documentary. You know, you're another massive music guy. Have you watched any of it? And if so, what are you thinking about it?
I was never a big Beatles fan. I don't, whatever streaming service on, I don't have that one. I got 17
right.
other ones.
I'm
not
right.
signing up for another one. I don't know. I just never really, I was more of a Stones guy. If it was Stones and Beatles, I got more. So I never really got into the Beatles. So I'm not interested. I should be, as you know, just because the history of them. But I don't know. It doesn't appeal to me.
I'll tell you this, and we've given this advice. If you are not a
don't
fan,
watch it.
If you are not even remotely or just interested peripherally, just skip it. You have to be hardcore because it is like the first episode is 2.5 hours. It's great. As a Beatles fan,
I love it.
It's awesome.
Yep.
But this is not, hey, I'm not really familiar. Is that for me to watch? No, it's not the way to go in because it's just, you're literally watching them sit around and compose songs. But, you know,
I just know I heard feedback and I heard that it's confirmed that Yoko ruined that band.
Yeah.
We got the other way.
Doc,
yeah.
Dude. Yoko deserves an apology from everybody. It's
really?
Pretty wild. Yep. That's one of the takeaways you'll get from it.
Swear to God, she just sits there. She's not in the way.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm waiting for her to be, because the Let It Be movie kind of intimated that she was a big adjutant and a big reason for the breakup. I mean, this is like 8 hours of footage that you're watching, and she doesn't do a damn thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Yoko got rooked in that whole historical account.
Jim, I wanted to ask you, because you know there's going to be a Kiss biopic that's coming out. You got to be excited about that, number one. But the other question I wanted to ask is, what do you think band out there deserves that treatment that hasn't gotten or probably will never get? That biopic treatment?
I don't know. You know, AC/DC should have one. That's an interesting story.
That's a hell of a story.
You know, Bon Scott, you know, dying, and then the next album they come in is even bigger. One of the biggest albums of all time, and Brian Johnson's just taken over seamlessly, which was insane. Rarely does that happen in any bands with a new singer after the history they had with Bon Scott and then Brian coming in and all that stuff. So
okay.
That would be a good one.
I like that one.
The AC/DC Behind the Music has always been one of my favorites because the way they stuck together and you know, there's been a lot of history associated with that band, a lot of stuff, but that story is pretty riveting.
I think Fleetwood Mac.
Especially when, you know, Brian, you know, Bon Scott said, if I ever leave the band, or if I ever die, Brian Johnson's the guy to get. Like,
wow.
He knew Brian Johnson from before.
So he knew it.
So, he was like, that's the guy you want to get. And they were like, yeah, whatever. They just kind of blew it off.
Right.
I think Fleetwood Mac would be good because they were all banging each other.
Yeah.
And that would definitely be some interesting things.
Yeah, that would be good. That, you know, yeah, I would like to, that'd be interesting, definitely. Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, I don't know when the Kiss one's coming out, but that.
I'm looking forward to it.
God, hopefully they do it right. Hopefully they give it the kind of the Bohemian Rhapsody treatment.
Right,
really,
right.
Really take a peek inside, which would be awesome. There's so much material there, which would be great. So, well, listen, Jim, you're coming in this weekend. You're going to hit Uncle Vinny's
on Friday and Saturday. And I've got, well, you can go to UncleVinny'sComedyClub.com, but you can also search your website for links, right?
Yeah, it's on my website. And my new comedy special is out for free. It came out yesterday. It's on my YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube.com/JimFlorentineComedy. My whole special's up there to watch.
Very nice.
Do you shoot that in one spot, or do you take a few different clips from different
just
clubs?
Just one spot in Fairfield Theater in Fairfield, Connecticut, a nice little theater. I did it back in, like, September. And, you know, at this point, I'm not getting a Netflix special, so it's on YouTube.
Nice. Go see it.
You never know. Yeah.
And, of course, catch Jim live. Dude, always great to talk to you. If we don't see you before the holidays, have a good one, and give your son our best, and we'll talk to you down the road. All right, man?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it. Jim,
yeah.
Freaking Florentine here on the show this morning, and Uncle Vinny's. Like I said, you can go to UncleVinny'sComedyClub.com.
I like the idea of a Lemmy.
Yeah.
Christmas ornament.
Yeah. I love it. Hey, one of the things that we didn't get to earlier this morning was the fact that the Golden Globe nominations have come out.
How magical. Now,
listen, this is the first of the onslaught of award shows.
Yes.
That'll be popping up.
It does carry some weight.
It does, yeah.
It's the Foreign Press Association.
Yep.
And they've sort of made some adjustments because they've been criticized for many years for... Yeah. Issues with the judging panel and so on and so forth.
Correct.
So, and they would normally televise these. They did not.
It's going to be scheduled. It's on January 9th.
Not the award, the announcing of the awards.
Correct. Yep. And we actually, speaking of the announcing of the awards,
yeah.
Snoop Dogg announced the awards.
Snoop Dogg had some issues with two names. One, admittedly difficult to pronounce. And then one, you'd figure, how did you miss this one?
Okay, can I play a little?
Yes, you can play.
We just had the one clip, I think.
That's it. Yeah, he does both in the one clip.
All right, here we go.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
Okay, Ben Affleck.
Hang on a second.
Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck. My fault. Sorry about that, Ben. Dennis Villanueva. Dune.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The director, right?
Of Dune, yes.
Yeah.
What is his name, though? It's a
Villeneuve.
Yeah. Okay.
Villeneuve. I like saying Ben Affleck. I've been saying that for a long time.
Ben Affleck. Affleck.
Yeah, just like Bela Fleck.
Who, yeah, that was a musician, right?
Yeah, he plays the banjo.
Yeah, Bela Fleck. Yeah.
I just like saying Ben Affleck. It's fun.
All right. Well, you know what? I can go through some of the nominations.
Let's check them out because they're usually an indication of how the Hollywood, how the award season is going.
Yeah.
And we know what we're going to be tortured with for the next couple months.
So we'll start with Best Motion Picture Drama. The films that are nominated are Belfast.
Yes.
You want to see that, right?
And it's streaming. Kenneth Branagh's story about Belfast.
Then you have Coda, which I've forgotten what that's about. Dune, great movie. King Richard, which is the Will Smith.
Yes. Serena Williams.
And Venus Williams' father. And I saw this movie, The Power of the Dog.
Okay, so all these are available on streaming platforms.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can check that out. Power of the Dog was one of those movies that stuck with me.
Okay.
I think I told you about it.
Yes, it's with Benedict Cumberbatch, right?
It's got that kind of There Will Be Blood feel to it, that time period, and really weird people.
Like There Will Be Dog?
Kind of like that. Yeah. But, okay. It took me a while to figure out what was going on, and eventually it was one of those that the next day when I thought about it, and I'm like... Oh, okay.
All right, so...
And I was like, it was disturbing but interesting and weird character dynamics.
So give me a 1 to 4 star on it because it stuck with you.
You know, if 4 is the absolute best movie I've ever seen, you know, a 3.
Okay.
You know.
Right. So worth checking out.
Worth checking out.
Just know what you're getting into.
Yeah. And it's a slow pace.
Does the dog talk?
No.
Okay.
Is there a dog
there's
in
hardly
it?
Any dog at all in it.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, but you'll see why there's a reference to a dog.
Oh, slow pace, I'm out.
Yeah, I know, right, Kathy?
We had to stick with it. You know, like an hour into it, I turned to Rochelle, I'm like, this movie's weird, right? And she's like, yeah.
Would you call
but,
it?
But we were so far into it that we weren't going to give up on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And when it was done, it does kind of have a moment.
Is it The Thinking Man's Turner and Hooch?
I finally nailed it.
Thank you.
You nailed it. All right. Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. Cyrano. Don't Look Up. Marissa would see that. Fell asleep at the end of it.
She did.
Licorice Pizza.
Okay, so that is coming out this...
is that the Bradley Sean Cooper, right?
No, Bradley Cooper. That's
Bradley Cooper's in it. Sean Penn's in it. And I think we're going to have the star of the movie on Friday.
Bradley
and
Cooper?
No, it's this girl in this band. And do you pronounce it Haim or Haim?
Haim.
Haim.
Yeah.
So I don't know which band member it is, but it's Alana Haim.
All right. Is she the bass player? Dude, she makes the weirdest faces I've ever
seen.
Does
she?
Okay. Oh, my God. Pull up pictures of Haim. I think it's how you say it. There's Haim or Haim. Bass player. She makes the ugliest faces you've ever seen on any musician ever.
Because that's kind of the thing when you're playing, you got to do your concurrent. Like,
she goes like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is radio and you can't see it.
Oh,
but, yeah, she makes really weird faces.
So I'm, you know, I wasn't aware of it and I wasn't aware of her name and I was given, and I saw the name. I know the name Haim and I did a little bit of digging. And this is a Paul Thomas Anderson movie?
Yeah, that's what I understand. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also up for Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy is Tick, Tick, Boom, which is excellent.
Really enjoyed
it. Did you hear Casey?
Yay!
I love it!
She's the drummer, by the way, Preston.
Great movie. Who is?
Alana. Oh,
so it's not the bass player.
No.
All right, gotcha. And then West Side Story, which none of us has seen yet, so
no.
We don't really know anything.
Critically acclaimed, not doing so well at the box office right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's up for a Golden Globe. Those are the musical or comedy selections. Now let's go on to the actors and actresses. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. Jessica Chastain for The Eyes of Tammy. I didn't know her name was Faye Olivia Coleman. For The Lost Daughter.
Is that like John Cougar Coleman?
It's a lot like that.
No. Yes. Go back.
What?
Go back. The Eyes of Tammy.
Oh, look at this.
It's not you.
Yeah.
It's not me. Eyes of Tammy Faye.
It's The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
The Eyes of Tammy Faye, Olivia Colman, The Lost Daughter.
Olivia Colman, The Lost Daughter. Nicole Kidman for being the Ricardos.
Okay, one issue with this, and I'm interested, obviously, you have Aaron Sorkin, you have a great pedigree as far as writing and directing, but the way they make her look as Lucille Ball is scary. She looks nothing, I think, like Lucille Ball. And whatever they did with her eyebrows makes her look like an android.
Okay.
All right, that's my issue. You can proceed now.
Lady Gaga for House Gucci.
The Gaga.
And Kristen Stewart for Spencer, which she's playing Lady Diana.
Yes.
Princess Diana.
All right, so she got a nomination.
So we'll see how that pans out. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. Mahershala Ali for Swan Song. What is Swan Song about?
It's almost like a Black Mirror episode. He's dying, and this is not a spoiler alert, and then they create a new Mahershala Ali.
That's right.
Yes. And that guy
is... Stop looking at me, Swan.
it's about this guy that goes back to elementary school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
He really can't decide whether he likes shampoo better or conditioner better.
They've made it a drama now.
Yeah.
Sing me a song!
Yeah. you also have Javier Bardem for the being the Ricardo, so he's up for one as well.
Playing Desi Arnaz.
Benedict Cumberbatch for The Power of the Dog.
The dog doesn't talk.
Will Smith for King Richard. And Denzel Washington for The Tragedy of Macbeth. Is that actual Macbeth? Is he... I know nothing of The Tragedy of Macbeth as far as film goes.
I'm not sure.
All right. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, musical, or comedy... Marion Cotillard of Annette.
It is Macbeth, by the way.
It is Macbeth.
That's just the full title.
Marion Cotillard for Annette. Alana Haim
for
Licorice Pizza. Wow, okay.
Hey.
The drummer.
Hey,
drummer does well. I love it. Jennifer Lawrence for Don't Look Up. That's the Adam McKay film. Emma Stone for Cruella. Huh. Anybody see it?
I did.
Any good?
I think it's pretty decent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rachel Zegler for West Side Story.
And they're making a sequel to Cruella, by the way.
Are they really?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So this is these are the Golden Globes, if you're just tuning in. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Leonardo DiCaprio for Don't Look Up.
Huh?
Peter Dinklage for Cyrano. Okay. I forgot he's in that. I would like to see that. I love the story of Cyrano. It's one of my favorites.
It is great.
And the fact that it's him, it's got to be, you know, he's so great. Andrew Garfield for Tick, Tick, Boom.
He was damn good.
He's excellent.
Yeah,
in it.
And
he's
can sing.
Fantastic. Cooper Hoffman for Licorice Pizza and Anthony Ramos for In the Heights. You enjoyed that movie.
I enjoyed the movie. I really did.
Yeah. Best actress in a supporting role in any motion picture. So at that point, when they get to the... when they get to the supporting roles, I think they drop the category as far as comedy, musical, or drama. So you have Catriona Balfe in Belfast, Ariana DeBose in West Side Story.
She's great.
Kirsten Dunst in The Power of the Dog.
The actress you just mentioned is also in Schmigadoon, Preston.
She is in Schmigadoon?
Yeah, I forgot about Schmigadoon.
I thought you were joking when you first said that.
Yeah, she plays a school mom.
Kirsten Dunst in The Power of the Dog. No talking dog.
No, make the dog talk.
Anjuane Ellis for King Richard. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce her name.
Okay.
It's A-U-N-J-A-N-U-E is how you spell her name.
Nestle's makes the very best.
It does. N-E-S-T-L-E-S. And Ruth Negga for Passing.
Huh. Yes. That was a very critically acclaimed.
Passing?
Yes.
What was that about? I don't know.
It's a period piece, and it's a woman who is African-American who's passing as white.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. That's right. Then you have actor in a supporting role in any motion picture.
Any.
This is an actor. Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
For the Tender Bar. It's Ben Affleck.
The Tender Bar.
Jamie Dornan in Belfast.
Belfast.
Where do I know Jamie Dornan for?
50 Shades of Grey.
That's right. Ciaran Hines for Belfast.
Belfast.
Yep. Well, that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Instead of Belfast. Troy Kotsur, I guess how you say that name, for Coda.
No, it's Belfast.
And then Cody Smith McPhee for The Power of the Dog. That's got to be her son in that movie. That's got to be Kirsten Dunst's son. Odd-looking guy.
Yeah?
Very much, yeah. All right. Yeah. But really cool character. Best motion picture animated, Encanto.
Yeah.
Which I definitely want to see. Then you have Flea, Luca.
I loved Luca.
What was it about?
Luca is about, it's set in Italy, and it's these underwater creatures that when they come out of the water, once they're not wet, they have human features.
Is it Pixar or Disney animation?
I think it was Disney animation. Okay. I'm not sure if it's Pixar or not.
All right.
And then Raya and the Last Dragon.
I liked that.
That was a good movie, too.
I enjoyed it.
All right.
It has a ton of great imagery.
Can we get some TV stuff here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Best television series, musical or comedy? The Great. Hmm? Hacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hacks is great.
Only Murders in the Building.
Yay. Enjoyed it. Absolutely.
Reservation Dogs.
Anybody watching this at all?
No.
Okay.
Do they talk?
There's no dogs.
Oh.
Well, there might be dogs, but it's not about dogs. It's about these Native American kids. That they're kind of like troublemakers and
cool.
But they live on a reservation.
Okay, I thought hotel reservation
right.
when I read the and maybe it was a hotel for dogs.
Which is already in
the movie, right? Hotel for dogs.
Yeah,
and then last but not least for musical or comedy, Ted Lasso.
Woo!
Yep.
You guys want to take bets?
I got to go with Ted. Well, I got to go with Ted. It's the best show, in my personal opinion. It's my most beloved TV show, I think, ever that I've seen.
I bet it loses to Only Murders in the Building.
Okay.
Do you think...
Not just because I like it so much, but I think that there's like how voters go with this type of thing.
They love Steve Martin
Short. And Martin Short, and it's kind of like that genre that will sway voters.
I think Hacks has a potential as well.
I'm pulling for Ted.
Yeah.
Best television series drama. Lupin.
Or is it? How do you pronounce it? It's French.
Lupin.
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 Lupin. Lupin.
It's a thief, right?
Thieves.
Right.
Mercer loves it.
Okay. It's her show.
She's a big fan.
All right. The Morning Show.
I like it, that show.
I'm about like five episodes in, and I'm really digging it. Pose.
Oh, that is the with Billy Porter.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Squid Game.
I liked it.
I thought for a second you were talking about Octopus Teacher. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a good documentary.
And Succession.
Mm-hmm.
Which is case we're going on about.
Yeah, good show
this morning earlier.
They got boats on Succession.
You what?
They got boats on Succession.
They do.
Fancy boats.
Yachts and whatnot.
There are levels of boats.
Yes,
different levels.
All right, so let me go through some actors in television series drama. Brian Cox for Succession. Lee Jong-jae for Squid Game. Billy Porter for Pose. Jeremy Strong for Succession. And Omar Sy for Lupin.
Did you guys watch Squid Games?
I did.
Mm-hmm. I was disturbed a little.
You watched it?
I watched a little bit of it.
It's like there's a battle royale, and it has elements of Hunger Games. And it's, you know what I like much more, though, I have to say, from South Korea is Hellbound, which is a six-episode series, I think six or seven episodes, which I thought was much more riveting.
You also have Best Performance by an Actress in a Television Series Drama. Uzo Aduba for In Treatment. Jennifer Aniston for The Morning Show. Christine Baranski for The Good Fight. Elizabeth Moss in The Handmaid's Tale. And Michaela J. Rodriguez for Pose. That's funny, The Handmaid's Tale. It seems like that was forever 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, my
I've
God.
Seen the last episode of that.
And they wonder why the audience goes away. They're like, I forget it.
Actress in musical or comedy TV show. Hannah Einbinder for Hacks. Elle Fanning in The Great. Issa Rae for Insecure. Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish, and Jean Smart in Hacks.
There's so many of these shows
you said
that are...
Jean Smart's fantastic.
She's unbelievable. Right? She's up against, though, her co-star.
Yep. Then you have Best Performance Actor, Television Series, Musical, or Comedy. Anthony Anderson in Blackish, Nicholas Hoult in The Great, Steve Martin Only Murders, Martin Short Only Murders, and Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso.
So yeah. Short and Martin might cancel each other out. Mm. That happens sometimes when you nominate two people from the same.
Yeah, like how thing. Can you pick one over the other, yep. Mm. Right? Yeah. And then I wanted to mention limited series, motion picture television, Dope Sick, Impeachment Made, The Underground Railroad, and Mayor of Easttown.
Ah.
Which we got to pull for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll thank us if she wins.
Oh, here you go. Oh, here. What? Actor in a limited series, motion picture, made for television, Paul Bettany for WandaVision.
Hey. How about that? A Golden Globe nomination for WandaVision.
There should be more nominations for WandaVision.
I think WandaVision was excellent.
Great show.
You know what? It's still my favorite of all the Marvel series so far.
And for actress in a limited series, well, the other people that are up for that one are Oscar Isaac in Scenes from a Marriage, Michael Keaton in Dope Sick, Ewan McGregor in Halston, and Tahar Rahmi for The Serpent. Now, in the female version of that category for limited series, Jessica Chastain for Scene for Marriage, Cynthia Erivo for Genius, Elizabeth Olsen for WandaVision.
There you go.
Margaret Qualley for Maid, and Kate Winslet for Mayor of Easttown.
So Margaret Qualley's great.
These are good.
They're all great, and Kate Winslet. But, you know, do we just by default have to pull for Kate Winslet because of the proximity?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. All right, anyhow, those are Golden Globe nominations.
I think there's some viable ones there.
We'll get to the next couple of award shows, and then after that we'll get tired of doing it and we won't bring this up anymore. So just
we'll vomit every time a new award comes
usually
out.
Usually at the onset. It's exciting stuff. This is coming to the awards.
Oh, for the first minute and a half.
And then we get to like five more of them. We're like, yeah, whatever, man. All right, anyhow, that means we should take a break. Come back in a second because I got some bizarre file stories that we want to share with you when we return. Also, in a little bit, not at this moment, but another chance to win some... tickets to go to our Christmas Miracle broadcast, which is a week from today. Mind you, hang in there. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle and the return of the horrendous holiday attire competition, the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Contest. It's happening Tuesday, December 21st at the Excite Center inside Parks Casino in Bensalem. At stake, some of the coolest prizes, gadgets, and gifts from our winter wonderland of clients and sponsors.
Like Keswick Cycle, Ashley Home Store, and Wawa.
And everyone's got a shot at a trip to Vegas to see Metallica.
February 25th at Allegiant Stadium with Greta Van Fleet.
Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle.
WMMR.com has details on how to join us.
It's a Christmas miracle or something.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
The left lane is still closed with repairs. Westbound at the Toll Plaza, we've got the right lane closed with construction. This traffic report brought to you by... Save time and shop Acme for all of your holiday needs. Acme has gift cards, custom trays, Lancaster brand meats, quality seafood, and delicious desserts. Acme fresh foods, local flavors. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
That was one of the loudest sneezes I've ever uttered on the air.
It is a wonderful feeling, though. If you've ever been stuffed up and you get a couple of good sneezes.
Oh.
And if I may point out, Preston, if I may go off on another tangent
Certainly, sir.
That sound that I play is an actual live sound.
Yep.
Of an incident that occurred in Russia.
Yep.
Right? So that's...
It was a meteorite.
Yes, it was.
Breaking in the atmosphere. And then you can hear the car alarms going off in the background. That would be insane.
Like you couldn't create a sound that authentic.
Nope. One more time, if you will, please. That's probably my favorite explosion that you own.
It is a great one, yes. And provided by Mother Nature.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so the Bizarre File is provided by Mother Nature. Usually.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Wawa, your one-stop shop for all gift cards. From Wawa gift cards, Wawa e-gift cards, or a gift card from your favorite brand, Wawa has a gift card for anyone on your list. I'll start with a story that has to do with nature.
Huh.
A friendly, if somewhat foul-mouthed, crow became a temporary mascot at Allendale Elementary School when the bird took up residence there. According to Naomi Immel, an education assistant, she said, this crow showed up at our school just out of the blue one morning, and it began looking into classrooms and pecking on doors. And at one point, it made its way into a fifth-grade classroom where it helped itself to some snacks, she said. Immel said the bird wasn't aggressive at all, and it seemed to love the kids. She said it landed on some people's heads, and she added, it spoke. The bird could say, what's up, and I'm fine, and lots of swear words as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that crows were birds that could be trained to speak. She said it was like a parrot. She said it was the weirdest thing.
You.
And still, because it was a wild animal that wouldn't leave, the school called animal control.
Huh.
She said it was quite the production. The animal control came out, and they decided that it was not in their jurisdiction to catch the crow. Then a wildlife officer from Oregon State Police came to the scene.
You're a fugly bitch.
Wow. That officer was able to feed it from his hand. They didn't want to net it, because if they missed, it would remember.
And thanks for the food, dickhead.
According to ML, all the grades came out to witness the attempt to capture the talkative crow.
Why did I? Yeah, so I've never, again, I'm with you, Preston. I've never perceived the crow as being one that could replicate speech.
No. Minor birds kind of look a little bit like a crow, and they can speak. Like, I think they have the best.
They can scat sing.
Representation of human speech. It's incredible to hear a minor bird talk. So anyhow, they said the
That's a minor bird.
Amazing. I mean, it sounds like a human being.
It does.
Ultimately, the wildlife trooper was unable to capture the crow, who spent the night outside the school. It turns out talking crows aren't just something out of an Edgar Allan Poe poem. And this crow, or possibly more in line with Poe, the raven, a raven, knows at least 40 words. They found out who the owner was. It was Daphne Culprin.
Of course.
She found out that it was female. Her mother rescued the bird about 2 years ago when it was a baby, bringing it home to the family's farm and a shelter, and they named it Cosmo. Sometimes, she said, he does use profanity. Culprin's mom considers Cosmo a part of the family, so they're able to track down who he was owned by, which is
pretty kind of amazing.
They are pretty amazing. Let's see. A California mother was criminally charged after she told her basketball player teenage daughter to hit an opposing player during a tournament game last month.
This loon.
Her daughter punched the other girl in the head, causing the 15-year-old to crumple, quote, to the floor like a rag doll, according to District Attorney Todd Spitzer, and she suffered a concussion. The 44-year-old woman, Latira Shanti, was caught on cell phone video yelling, "You better hit her for that," after her daughter fell to the ground on a previous play involving the victim. She is charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor and battery, both misdemeanors, and she could face a year in jail if convicted. I doubt she will, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she apparently has a clean record, but you can't go telling your kids to hit somebody else.
We've all seen parents at sporting events go a little too far.
Absolutely. Let's see. A North Carolina man was crushed to death by a car while trying to cut off and steal its catalytic converter.
Well, you don't want him to die, but that's kind of a dick move.
It's something you're going to, a danger you're going to face if you're doing that type of thing. Officers found the man dead beneath a Toyota Prius sedan, one of the many vehicles in the driveway of a home. Evidence showed the man was cutting off and trying to steal the converter when the car crushed and killed him on Wednesday. The findings on the scene indicated that at some point during the cutting of the exhaust pipe, the vehicle fell off of an automotive jack and on top of him. So I guess he had jacked the car up.
That catalytic converter theft thing is off the charts now with people doing it. Cars, they'll go into neighborhoods or they'll go into parking lots like ours. And like they did it to the station vehicles here.
I was just reading a story and I didn't see what town it was in, but they were doing a roundup of these guys. They found 1,000 catalytic converters.
You know what else they're stealing? Mm-hmm. The cameras, the front and backwards facing cameras. Yes.
Really? Now that I have not heard. That's crazy, man.
That's crazy, man.
On Saturday, December 11th, deputies were dispatched regarding a trespassing complaint. Upon arrival, deputies were advised that 50-year-old Sharon Watley had reportedly been told by the Monroe, Louisiana Police Department to leave the parking lot and not return. Watley also had been told by deputies to leave the parking lot or she would be arrested.
Leave this parking lot.
However, Watley continued to tell authorities that she needed to turn herself in. And after deputies found no warrants or reason for Watley to be arrested, she was advised once again to leave the parking lot. She refused. And so she was arrested.
So she demanded to be arrested.
Yeah. All they could get her on was criminal trespass because they were asking her to leave and she wouldn't leave. But she wanted to be arrested. She needed to turn herself in for something, but they had nothing to arrest her for.
Did they bring her to the Minority Report Division?
Maybe she is planning on doing something in the future. I'm not really sure. All right. And then one more quick story and then we will wrap it up. Let's end with this one. A California woman captured video of a bear club. Let me try that again. Of a bear
Sugary club.
No, a bear.
I come here every Friday.
A bear cub.
Oh.
Brawling with an inflatable reindeer in her neighborhood while the baby Bruin's mother watched from nearby.
It's adorable.
Donna Hargett posted a video to Facebook showing the bear cub wrestling with a giant inflatable Christmas decoration in the neighbor's front yard. She said, I looked up there and it was jumping on the reindeer and I was laughing myself out in the street.
The bear.
Hargett said the mother and cub are frequent visitors to the neighborhood. She said, we see these two around all the time, and they're trouble. She said,
yeah.
Bears often come down from the nearby San Gabriel Mountains.
She said,
the animals once broke into her home as well.
It's a funny video.
Though through the window one time, she said there were scratches on the wall and one got up on the bed and there were paw prints as well. But it was really going after.
Oh, that's cute.
Inflatable, which I'm wondering if it thought it had scored a gigantic deer or something like that.
Look what I did is
the mother load.
I beat the innards out of it.
And he went after it. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the B5 for you. Let's give away our last two passes for the Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Callers 19 and 20. We're going to take you now, 19 and 20 at 215-263-WMMR. You just have to be available next Tuesday. You have to be at least 21 years of age. You can bring a friend, but only you are eligible to be called up onto the podium to play in our Preston and Steve trivia-based game, of which we have great prizes to give away for your correct answer. So get ready for that and wear an ugly sweater because our friends at Miller Lite have prizes to give away for the ugly sweater contest. 215-263-WMMR 19 and 20 will set you up. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If you like what you hear, you can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
A reminder, should you ever want to see what's happening live here in the studio, we stream on YouTube. I don't mention that often.
No.
You should from time to time. And if you would like to check that out, very easy to do it. You can go to PrestonSteve.com. You can go to YouTube, do a search on Preston Steve, but you will see our live streaming. We bring it to you as it's happening here on the air. So if you want to check that out.
Peek behind the curtain.
Yes, certainly can do it. All right, so we're going to ask a lesson question from today's program. We are going to give away a $50 Wawa gift card if you can answer this question correctly. At the end of a party, how does Steve get unwanted house guests to leave? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. At the end of a party, how does Steve get unwanted house guests to leave? We were discussing on subtle ways to let people know that it's time to leave your party.
Yes.
What's Steve's version of that? 215-263-WMMR. Do you know the answer? Let's find out. We'll do the trash while you call in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Revivalist. You can liven up your holidays with award-winning resurgent bourbon and Revivalist gin delivered to your door. Go to revivaliststspirits.com, the botanical experts, voted USA Today's top craft gin distillery. And you get 50% off with the promo code ROCK. Cheers. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Dr. Oz announcing that since he's leaving the show to run for the Senate in Pennsylvania, his daughter Daphne will take over his spot with a cooking series. Ironically, in all the years Dr. Oz has been giving medical advice on TV, he never once offered up a cure for nepotism.
Hey!
Fans reacting positively to Mads Mikkelsen replacing Johnny Depp in the new trailer for Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. The moody trailer suggests Dumbledore had a number of secrets, including that he routinely wiped from front to back.
Oh, my God.
I don't know about that. And finally, Kim Kardashian announcing on Twitter that she finally passed the baby bar exam on her way to taking the full bar exam. Amazingly, Kim took the baby bar with 16 adults, all who were babies when she first took the test. So, that's your Hollywood.
All right, we'll go to the phone, see if somebody knows the answer to this question. At the end of a party, how does Steve get unwanted guests to know that it's time to leave? I will go to Tim, see if we can get that answer. Yo, Tim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Preston.
All right, Tim, buddy. How does Steve let people know that it's time to leave the party?
Oh, he sets his furniture on fire.
You got it. Hang on, Tim. We're going to set you up, my man. Hang on the line because you will get yourself a $50 Wawa gift card. Why not make Wawa your one-stop shop for gift cards this holiday season? A great gift for anyone on your list. We'll get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you this morning by Wawa, your one-stop shop for all gift cards. And from Wawa gift cards, Wawa E gift cards, or a gift card from your favorite brand, Wawa has a gift card for anyone on your list. We'll start with this, man. Danny Carey, drummer for the band Tool, was arrested on Sunday at Kansas City International Airport. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ that the Tool drummer physically and verbally abused a man working security at the airport. A video obtained by the outlet shows Carey wearing a Chiefs jersey and explaining to police officers that he is in the band Tool as they put him in handcuffs. And I don't know anything more about it than he's facing a misdemeanor assault charge and could be hit with a fine of up to about $14,000.
So we see the video of him. He's got his luggage and he's got a carrying bag for his bazooka. And I'm trying to figure out what the issue was.
What did he do?
Yeah.
He's not saying, do you know who I am routine, is he?
I haven't watched the video.
Okay.
I do not know, but he does tell them that he's in the band Tool as they put him in handcuffs. Oh, he might be doing the do you know who I am thing. I'm not really sure. So it looks like there's audio to it, and I will have to check that out and see what that's all about. Paul McCartney's famed Yamaha BB-1200 bass guitar, used during his legendary run in the band Wings, has been sold at auction for a whopping $471,000. Yeah. The sale, which benefited Music Rising, took the charity back to its roots and will help restore the livelihood of musicians of New Orleans and surrounding regions who have suffered through the pandemic.
What am I bad? What am I bad? Boodly, 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 boodly.
Oh, I didn't know he was doing the auction. All told, the instruments donated by the likes of Paul, also Eddie Vedder and The Edge, raised over $2 million for Music Rising.
Seems a lot of this memorabilia will end up in museums and collections that people go see, right? I mean, there's a guy I was watching after Get Back. You know, both you and I, Presser, were taking a deep dive on videos and people's reactions to it. And there's a guy who had like an unbelievable collection of Beatle instrumentation and memorabilia. And that's so, and he opens up his collection for fans to come see. Yeah.
The sale of Macca's Yamaha shattered the record for a bass, which was previously held by Bill Wyman. He had his 1969 Fender Mustang bass with a competition orange finish, and that was a mainstay of the Stones' concerts and recording sessions from 1969 and 1970. And it sold in 2020 for $384,000. So this one went for $471,000. Yeah,
slapping the bass.
Is that him? Is that McCartney?
Yeah.
That's me.
Slapping the bass.
Is that like Borat meets...
yeah.
Whatever that guy's name is.
From I Love
Paul Rudd, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Slapping the bass.
Why don't we actually have that?
The original, I don't know. Yeah. I know why we have me and not the actual clip of that, but we do.
It's from the Night of a Thousand Slappins.
By the way, Paul's Auburn color bass is synonymous with the final days of Wings and was played on such hits as Goodnight Tonight, Coming Up, Ebony and Ivory, Take It Away, and featured on Back to the Egg, McCartney 2, Tug of War, Pipes of Peace. All these albums. Might give my regards to Broad Street and 1986's Press to Play. So there was quite a bit that you will hear that on.
What do you think is the best Wings album?
Oh, wow.
It's
a good question because I get some of the Paul McCartney solo and the Wings stuff mixed up. Wings was Wings Band on the Run, or was that I think it was just Paul.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, because I would put that as what album has his first solo album?
That was just McCartney.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it's excellent. So he's got. Band on the Run would be Paul McCartney and Wings.
Yeah.
So some of those were just him solo.
Right.
And then when he brought in, his wife and, Danny, what's his name, from Moody Blues. I'm having a brain fart and I don't remember. Denny. Nick has got the. Forget it. I'm not even trying.
It doesn't even matter anymore.
Moving on.
Sewell.
It's not even a word.
Lane. Denny Lane. Thank you.
Denny Lane. There is a guy who joined my recent band.
Yeah.
He had two Dennys in the band.
He did?
What? Yeah. A Denny for your thoughts.
How come Denny's didn't sponsor the tour?
I don't know.
Yes.
What's your favorite place to eat?
Yeah.
Bottomless coffee and waffles to die for.
Lane and Denny Sewell.
They would have to play in Miami, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. At some point.
It's great to be here in Miami.
Yeah.
Two moons.
The drummer was Denny Sewell. He also drummed for Billy Joel and Liza Minnelli.
Do me a favor. Pull up Wings, yeah. The band.
Right.
Denny Minnelli.
And let's see what Liza's brother.
Wingy.
See what albums, albums they released, if you will, please.
Yeah.
Scroll down
to
discography.
Yep. Where's that part?
It's near the bottom.
Okay, right. We have the list here, Preston. Oh,
discography. Wildlife. Red Rose Speedway. Band on the Run. Venus and Mars. Wings at the Speed of Sound. Wings Over America. London Town. And then Back to the Egg.
Okay. I remember Back to the Egg. I did own that one. I don't know. Band on the Run probably is the best one. Red Rose Speedway has some good songs on it.
Yeah, I think Band on the Run. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. All right, so we answered that question. Steve Perry is hinting at a possible comeback.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, stage comeback.
Not with Journey.
No.
Okay.
Journey's legendary and beloved former frontman is back with his first Christmas collection titled The Season. And he recently, in a chat, revealed that there is talk regarding him booking some type of shows in the near future, revealing, Uncle Steve is no spring chicken here. It's been discussed, but nothing has been put together yet. I'm a spur-of-the-moment guy. You never know. You might see me in a nightclub singing a couple of Christmas songs. Apart from a trio of brief appearances with the band The Eels back in 2014, Perry has shied away from any public performances and went on to explain, there's a component of my voice that I can't find unless I'm in front of people. They bring something out of me that I can't find otherwise. And I really hope that's something that I get to participate in.
It should have been gone!
I don't know how somebody with a voice like that can't go out and sing. I mean, regularly to get perform because he claimed so good.
Did he claim that his voice had degraded at all? Or what was the, or it's just simply, I don't want to.
I don't know. He had gotten sick.
Right.
He was sick.
I have some bad news for you, Mr. Perry. You're sick.
Call Sherry.
Better call Sherry.
Yeah.
She's a surgeon.
But I remember when he left the band.
Cirrhosis.
He had a physical issue that he wasn't able to perform. And then after that, he just kind of fizzled out, you know? So I don't know. Although he did have a solo tour here and there and stuff like that.
And then he did a tour where he would do a handstand and shoot a bow and arrow with his feet.
Oh, my God. I think I saw him in America's Got Talent.
It's pretty amazing.
Okay.
Is that Steve Perry from Journey? Man, he's very talented. Jeez. He should have been gone!
All right. One last story. James Brown's estate got a brand new home. Primary Wave Music. Don't we have a special James Brown thing? Do you remember?
Yes, right. We do. I forgot about
Primary Wave Music, company that specializes in marketing estate and song catalogs, has bought all of Brown's remaining assets. That includes ownership over the late musician's estate, music rights.
Are you laughing prior to it being played?
It's that good, Pat.
And control over how his name and likeness are used.
It's that good. Which one do you want? Do you want this one or this one?
Yeah, I don't care.
How about this one?
Hit him.
Okay.
Go ahead. All right, I think I like the other one better.
Yeah,
right?
The other one's pretty good.
Here we go. I feel good.
No, we got a better one.
I think it's better
at the end.
So good.
I feel good.
You're right, it's better towards the end. I wouldn't.
It's easier.
Yeah.
So good. So good. I got a year. Oh, I feel not.
Legend.
Legend, yes.
so good!
I can't believe that's what you were laughing at ahead of time.
I thought there was something funnier than that, to be honest, Kathy.
I wish there was.
I know you do.
So good!
No, there was...
Sam good.
Oh, no. You know what I'm thinking of?
What are you thinking of?
Another one we did. Little Richard.
Oh, that, yes.
That was better.
Was that a two-person?
I think it was a two-person one.
Well, let's find out.
What's the song that we did that with?
I'm going to look up Little Richard, see if we have it.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about Chuck Berry.
Oh, farting in the...
Yeah, in the hooker's face. Mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
And it led to us actually playing playing Little Richard.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, I don't see any Little Richard fart.
Damn it. All right, if someone remembers this might be the kind of question that would end up in the Christmas Miracle.
Wah, bah, bloom, bah, 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 bah.
It is, right?
I don't remember.
Oh, man. I know there's... all right, anyway.
Wait, try it again.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Wah, bah, bloom, bah, 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 bah.
Oh.
No, that wasn't it.
All right.
We'll way off on this. Break and we'll do a little research off air.
Wow. Right now. Kitten's got fat. Kitten's got claws.
All right. Per Kathy. Yeah. Primary Wave has the means.
Teachers in Charlie Brown.
Means and tools to market Brown's songs to a new generation of fans, however they think they can reach them. That most likely includes, but would not be limited to, honoring him through a Broadway musical, television shows, and museum-like attractions. I keep glancing over at our instant replay.
Slap it to bass.
Yeah, okay. So, well, we had that.
We covered that part. Yeah,
I like your version better.
We got that part.
I think he even says in the movie, no, that's Borat.
Slap it to bass.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Right?
But I was imitating him.
I know. Okay. I know that.
Okay.
I wasn't making fun of you.
Okay.
Now, you want to hug it out?
Find the Little Richard tape.
Where are those Little Richard tapes?
And then back in July, a settlement had been apparently reached for, back in July is when the settlement was reached for Brown's estate following a 15-year battle, by the way. 15 years.
Do you remember how long he remained unburied?
Yeah.
It was like in the back of a beer distributor.
It was almost a year.
His ridiculous.
Body laid unburied.
It was like a billion.
Yeah. All right.
Stallone's funeral home.
Nobody's paying attention anymore, are they?
Wop, bop, loo, bop, wop, bamboo. And then that's when the fart came in?
Yeah, it was...
Tutti Frutti.
Yeah, well, we were talking... Hang on a second. We were talking about Chuck Berry.
Yeah. Right.
Do we have any other Little Richard clips?
Stingers.
Or was it Womp... It was just the Womp Bobba Lubop, the one.
I don't know.
I can't think.
All right.
Santa's
got to go.
You know what? Let's just... Hang on a second.
Kathy, can you go over there and help him on this?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Let's just listen to this all the way through to the Womp Bamboo.
All right, go ahead.
Womp Bamboo, Womp Lomp Bomp Bomp, Tootaboo.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
That's it.
Nah.
Right. Enough.
That is not it. All right, so anyway.
That was our tribute.
Wait. Oh, Penelope saying that she knows the origin of this. Hi, Penelope. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, can you help Kathy out with this? Because she's trying to know.
I can't believe it's a chick calling in to give us this info. God.
You guys got somebody calling in for a shard out, and they asked for the wrong name, and you said, oh, well, let's just do it anyway.
Oh, so we use Little Richard?
use Little Richard.
All right. Instead of Tom Jones, maybe? I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, well, they called in asking, they meant to say, like, for a big Tom Jones shard out. But they said, can I have a big Little Richard
shard out? All right. Okay. All right. We'll explore. You might be right there.
Maybe. Yeah, you're
Thanks,
right.
Penelope.
Right. Thank you, Penelope. Appreciate it. All right. Anyhow, that's a perfect time to end this segment of Music News. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get ready to wrap up the entire show. Make sure you stay with us because we'll be back momentarily.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Preston and Steve Show coming to the end of the program today, and a nice day at that. Another nice day.
Absolutely.
That we have, you know, halfway into December, and we're at 55 degrees and sunshine, pretty much getting the same thing tomorrow. 61, 62 degrees, somewhere in that range on Thursday. Friday still going to be near 60 degrees, and then Saturday maybe some rain, but 57, so.
I remember... A few years ago, Preston, I remember going for a walk in a T-shirt on Christmas Day.
I played golf on that day, on Christmas Day. I went out. The golf course was closed.
And it wasn't so bad.
It was spectacular. Yeah. I put on a Santa hat.
Yeah.
And I grabbed my golf clubs, and I went out, and I played like 9 holes. And it was funny because I came walking through somebody's backyard, and the little kid was like, hey! He saw me in my Santa hat.
Yay!
I don't mind the mild weather. Around this time, we get enough of it in January and February, and we're going to get it.
We will.
I'll enjoy a little bit of this mild stuff.
I like it.
May I go to this phone call real quick? Because somebody wants to clarify what we were trying to figure out earlier, this Little Richard clip that we had a little while back. I'm going to go to John. Hey, John, good morning.
What's up?
Yep. What's up, buddy?
So, Lainey and I, we deliver, so we take you guys with us everywhere on the road. And
Thank
I remember
you.
This day.
Okay.
It was actually James Brown. The shard out was for somebody with the last name Brown.
Okay.
So, you used a clip from James Brown. It was, oh, I feel good.
Okay. All right. I do remember that one. That one was not the exact same thing. We have done that one as well. I was looking for this other one. But I appreciate it,
No,
John.
They're right.
Yeah, he's
right, just looking for a slightly different one.
But there was one that we definitely did with the Little Richard thing, and it was when Chuck Berry passed away.
Right. Because we were...
Thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy. And thank you guys for taking us with you everywhere.
We appreciate that.
We'll figure it out. Wait a minute. Oh, you found it, Marissa.
Yeah, she thinks she found something.
Hold on. This is from...
May 11, 2020.
Bring the family in around the
Please, radio. Get closer. Here we go.
The difference between Little Richard and Chuck Berry is the word is that people that encountered... Chuck Berry could be a dick. He really could be.
Big time.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That Little Richard was a lot more... certainly he had his ego, but a lot more welcoming and a lot cooler to hang out with.
Yep.
Unless you were a hooker, then Chuck Berry really. Yes, and he would love to fart in your mouth. But that's a whole other story.
Do you remember when Chuck Berry died and we were playing back the clip of him and the hooker together? We ended up using Little Richard.
I know, it was the only thing we had.
The only thing, it was Wah Bah Blue Wah Bah Bah. Okay, so this is us talking about
that
the
segment.
Original segment, that's and here we are talking about it again.
Well, yeah,
so we didn't have Chuck Berry to play, so we played Little Richard, Bop Bop, Woo Bop, and then we hit the fart
sound. Yeah,
it's been cleared up.
So that was what we need to do is find out when Chuck Berry died.
Go back
and check the date. It would have been the day after that we would have talked about it, and then
finally. Preston, I will spare no expense.
Okay,
I will underwrite this endeavor.
Thank you. I appreciate
whatever it costs.
If I might just say,
please,
this. Level of detail is why you're in the National Radio Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Because we're the lovely farting effects for Chuck Berry, or were they for Little Richard, or were they for James Brown?
Right.
Well, all are legends, and they deserve their proper respect.
Absolutely.
And you would not want to afford or at least attribute
right.
a particular flatulence to the wrong individual. It's
no.
just it's just bad cricket.
That's flat out bad yeah. flatulence.
Yes.
That's bad broadcasting
yeah.
is
yeah.
what that is.
Well, that gets you booted out of the hall.
Exactly. Yeah. You're in. Don't do anything to jeopardize
right. it.
Right. All right.
Okay. The fact that we're in shows you what kind of level
you
glad
are glad we got that yeah. all cleared up. How you doing today, by the way?
I'm doing good.
Excellent, man.
You guys do such great other things as well. I mean, not that that wasn't...
Kathy loves it. She's actually texting her friends.
Material. Yeah. But I was thinking of you guys over the weekend when when that tornado struck in Kentucky.
Yes.
And one of the things one of the FEMA workers or someone said is, you know, when asked, what could you do? They said you could give blood. And I was reminded of the blood drive in the summertime and how when you give blood, it can go anywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
It may well stay here, but it could go to help someone else out. Yeah. And just, you know, cool little things you can do to lift the consciousness.
I just tweeted out this morning because they I've been getting a lot of calls. So I'm going to make an appointment and go do it. They're a desperate situations right now, you know, right. they're really scraping. So they, and obviously with that going on and all the other applications that blood is necessary for. But if you want to talk about a gift that is actually the gift of life, that's it.
That is it. Absolutely.
Well, what's great about the human relations that we have with each other is when tragedy like that strikes, a lot of people jump on board and help out immediately. I saw a really cool story. A guy did a small thing. Drove his barbecue
yes.
Rig out there and just started serving up food for everybody who was helping
like a
out.
Smoker.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, things cool. like that. You see people like, you know, I don't know what I can do, so I'm just going to do this. You know what I mean?
A lot
you know,
of
whatever
stories.
You can.
There was a story of a woman that was trapped in the candle factory, and I think she was there with her daughter, and they were. She was able to broadcast on Facebook. She went on Facebook Live. But her daughter or someone near her was saying, we're going to die. And she's going, no, we are not going to die. My birthday's tomorrow. And I want you all to start singing happy birthday. And these people are trapped under rubble. They're, blessedly still alive. But they're starting to sing her happy birthday.
Right.
You know, moments of human, how the human spirit can rise to extraordinary levels at times like that never cease to inspire me.
Yeah. You know what else can inspire you?
What?
The actual audio from we originally played that fart.
And I somehow knew I couldn't, as best I was trying to climb Mount Everest, I knew that we needed to descend back into the tidy bowl once again.
Well, Pierre came
Welcome
in.
Back to Spring Mountain. That's the
I encountered him.
As high as we go.
In the hallway, and he said, what do I need to do? How can I vamp to make sure you find that effect? I'll bring up the tornado relief.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we
are. All right. We have it. Let's see. Who was the conversation? Here we go.
I hate to go down this path, but of all of them, who was known to be the most depraved or most out there? Chuck probably was mid-level compared to some others.
I mean, he what he did is known as a Dizzy Gillespie.
Yes. And there we go, an influence. Though Dizzy Gillespie was after... Or a contemporary of Chuck.
How can it not be called a Chuck Berry at this point?
Right. You're
right. I mean, you're naming it after Dizzy Gillespie. You might as well. Okay.
Because it's a rusty trombone with a fart. And
But Chuck Berry deserves to have something named after him.
Oh, he does.
You're right.
Where is it?
Can we do this one more time?
Okay. That's it.
My wop bop loo bops are too loud. Let me try it one more time.
Wait.
Yeah, a second.
We had perfected it at this point. Yeah. We were sharpening it.
All right, ready?
Hang on.
That's better.
Yeah.
That's good. Perfectly mixed.
Chuck Berry.
Which one do you like better, Kathy? The first one or the second one?
That was really worth the wait. We spent a lot of time there.
I don't know if the cameras are able to capture Kathy's enthusiasm over this bit, but you could certainly hear it in that a bit from all those years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
If you're not watching, Kathy slid a paper to me and says, I really love this, but I'll act like I don't like it.
Right.
Because it's my role on the show.
Right. We all have to play our roles.
Right. Shall we do the letter of the day? That's your role.
That is my role.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
N as in naughty or nice.
All good. And we have three more letters to go. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for three lap ride-alongs. And you and a guest.
Okay. Today's Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you see what the first letter was?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Okay. Right. Anyway, three lap ride-alongs, you and a guest.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, you and
just
a guest.
Stay with the program. Overall, we're going to get there.
Each get to experience real-life racing thrills as you ride shotgun in a 600-horsepower NASCAR-style race car on Pocono Raceway, 2.5-mile super speedway. From Stock Car Experience. Don't give another boring give. No.
No.
Give that one ride.
No.
Shotgun and 160 mile per hour stock car at Pocono Raceway. Gift vouchers are easy to order at 877-stockcar.com. That's 877-stockcar.com. Roasted. Okay.
Yes. And by the way, that is a great experience.
It is.
We keep talking about it. We've both done it, and it is amazing.
Another thing before we find out what Pierre's got going on, we have a tattoo day. We got to get in there for that.
Yeah.
So I apologize. We should have done that earlier, but I would like to award the $350 gift certificate for a Preston and Steve themed tattoo at Floating World Tattoo and Piercing to Thomas Devlin.
Yeah.
Bridesburg, Pennsylvania. Congratulations, my man. You're good to go. And by the way, check out floatingworldtattoos.com or check them out on Instagram at floatingworldtattoos. What else we have? So what's up on the show today, man?
Well, we'll have Workforce Box of the Clash, Five Finger Death Punch, and we have got a Christmas block.
Ooh!
There. Yes, we are starting our Christmas blocks. And never know exactly when to start. If you start too early, people get annoyed. If you start too late, people get annoyed. So we're starting now.
I think this is absolutely appropriate.
I think so too.
We're right in the pocket.
Yeah, we're 2 weeks out. It's perfect.
Yeah, I think it's fine, and that's what we're going to do. And we're going to begin decorating.
Oh!
We
did not know that last year. Okay.
We are going to do some version of it this year.
Are the elves coming today?
I have somebody coming. I don't know who.
Okay.
Maybe all right. Connor.
All right. We'll see about
Connor's that. Connor's the Swiss Army knife, I should say, of assistance.
Of radio.
Yes.
So there you go.
All right. Well, it's going to be a good day getting started. And we'll be posting pictures and all that good stuff in the very, very near future, I'm sure. All right. Well, let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, tomorrow on our program. It's a Wednesday secret text word. Fox Good Day will do that. And actor Will Forte.
Yes.
MacGruber. He will be on with us tomorrow.
I'm so excited. The MacGruber series is starting up on Peacock.
Yeah. Wow. So we'll see what's going on with him and see what else we can get into as well. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve, 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the map.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.